Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. How you doing, Bianchi? And everybody
else?
Hey,
Donnie, what's going on, man?
I don't know. I think I'm going to have to blow up the show and start all over again, Bianchi.
What happened?
I've lost my mind. That's what's happened.
Well, we know that.
I'll tell you in just a few minutes. Let me just blow this up. At 9:30, we'll start the show, okay?
9:30, man. That's an hour and a half for me.
No, it isn't. It's a half, not even a half hour.
Oh, okay. All right, then, Donnie, whatever you say, sir. You're the captain of the ship.
Well, hang on. Cinnamon's telling me what now? I hang on this? No, I don't remember. Okay, well, do I try that?
Okay, Bianchi, we just have to stay on. He's just got to hang up and call back in.
You want me to hang up?
Nope, don't hang up. He's just, all he's got to do is hang up and call back in. It's just us.
Okay.
So, until then, how's your Saturday going?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I got a loose tooth that ain't hurting, but it's just a loose tooth. I guess it'll fall out when I get ready.
Oh.
You know, those things always happen on a Friday when the dentist is closed on the weekend.
Yeah, and your dentist might be closed on Monday, too.
Oh, man, you just really shocked me now. Well, it's not hurting, so.
Yeah, just be very gentle over the weekend.
Yeah. I did it on a piece of my pizza.
Oh, I cracked the tooth on those, what was it? Those Lifesavers, you know, the Tootsie Pop sucker. They started doing those Tootsie Pop drops instead of mini and without the stick.
I can't think of the name of them. Well, you know, eating something like that will pull your teeth out.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was, good Lord, it was like the night before we were going to Alabama, because we were packing up when I did it. And our dentist was a great guy. He got me in first thing in the morning the next day. Because he's a family-owned place. And so he and the kids were still there doing paperwork. When I called it, like 6:30 at night, and he says, "Well, we can get you in first thing in the morning." So we just had a later leave time for Alabama. Made it just fine.
Yeah, well, those are things that happen, and they always happen at inconvenient time.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's when the emergency dentists make the big money.
What's the weather like up there in Northern Land?
Hot today.
Smoky.
Not as hot as it was yesterday. And smoky.
Oh, is smoke coming out of Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not as bad today.
Hmm.
Yep, I'm here. Can anybody hear me?
Hi, Don.
Yep.
Hey, Jean, how you doing? All right.
Hi, Bianchi. Hi, Cinnamon.
Hello, Jean. How are
you?
Hey,
Jean.
I'm good.
Always great to hear you.
I'm good. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I enjoy hearing all of you, too.
Oh, she's telling a story.
I am not.
All right, I'm just kidding.
I am not. I will tomorrow, but I won't tonight.
There you go. Oh, I like
that. Yeah, so, in Wisconsin, it's really bad, too, the air quality. Our son is in Wisconsin, and he sent us some pictures, and they look just like us, you know, with, I mean, that smog look. It's bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty bad out there.
I just want to know when the world would burn, because I was doing all right at first and working outside in it. And then I think it was Thursday. Man, I just had this headache. I went outside and it got worse, and I come in and it got better, you know, a little bit better. And I was like, I couldn't be outside Thursday for very long. It was just, and everybody kept saying they can smell plastic burning or, you know, something like that. I didn't smell it until like Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's the wildfires, and it's because they're saying it's the particulates. There's also, you know, certain funguses that are in, you know, big wild areas in the forest that go more than like at a campfire. So it's all the fine particulates.
Yeah.
And we don't usually get too much of it, and by the time it gets to us from like the California wildfires, it's gone such a distance. But because it's Quebec.
Yeah, but Quebec is northeast of us.
Yeah, it's only when the wind blows down.
And for Wisconsin to be getting it, I mean, it's just kind of odd. But, and I believe these fires are intentional. There's over 400 fires. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
I think this is intentional. Somebody said that they've been using a chemical trying to, air finger quotes, put them out.
Yeah.
Which I think are probably actually making them stronger.
I thought it
and
was
that's
over. And
that's why this chemical smell. Mm-mm. They're just letting them burn because they think that that's the best conservation way and just let the new growth come up.
Let it burn.
Mm. Well, when you burn off, you know, your a field or whatever, you don't kill the root system underneath. The root system is still there. So everything will come back.
Right, yeah. It'll come back. It'll take quite a while.
Right, but it will come back.
Well, that's the same place. That's the same thing in a desert.
A desert
got the potential to come back. But you know what else has the potential to come back too? Diseases and bacteria. It just dormant, just waiting for the right time. Kind of like them frogs in a dry lake.
Now, did you hear the CDC is already predicting the next pandemic we have is going to be? Where they're going to really have to look, you know, lock down. It's going to be a lot different. So be prepared. You know we're going to
have.
They
said that a couple of years ago.
Well,
didn't they say that a couple of years ago?
I don't know.
But
they did.
I mean,
they're predicting this.
The next pandemic.
It's going to be just a little bit worse than the first one, the one we just had. And they know their mistakes. And they're going to have to really, really stay on top of it and, you know, keep us inside.
And scare you even more.
Yeah.
Well, people should tell the CDC to go pound sand.
Exactly.
Because I bet they announce it around a year from now in June, going into election season, watch and see.
Oh, yeah. You bet. And the WHO, we should be just get out of there. Just get out of there.
You need to tell them to go to hell. Absolutely.
Yep. Absolutely.
You're
right.
They're trying to, they didn't scare people enough before. So now they want to scare people more.
Yeah.
It's
oh, yeah.
Ridiculous. Where was I? Oh, I was at the Secretary of State on Friday. And this lady said something about, you know, well, before the pandemic, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, that pandemic really messed things up. And she was looking and smiled like, yep. A lot of people think it's a pandemic.
I
you
know
that it was intentional.
It's too much evidence leading that in that direction. And you know the thing about that, when you produce something like that, it alters the body itself. And, you know, in part what they're saying is right. The next thing come along, you know, tell them what the hell it may accomplish with you.
Well, the thing is, I mean, I've been calling it a pandemic since early 2020. You know, about maybe not even 2 months in, I was calling it a pandemic. I was called crazy.
We weren't calling you crazy.
Although I didn't say you. I just said I was being called crazy. You know? But knowing what we know about the government, I mean, it's like I even watched a video about another video regarding the Twin Towers. And it was like a close-up of one of the planes going in. And he goes, this is evidence that this is, was it DCI? Hmm. And it's like the planes are going, and then there's a building in the background, and the wings go behind the building.
Yeah.
It doesn't even touch the building. And I'm like,
yeah.
People, when are you going to wake up and just realize that you've been lied to about pretty much everything.
Everything.
It's like, well, it makes me wonder how much of the history, even the history that we dig up that is not necessarily recorded in history books, how much of that is even actual?
Well,
you know, because we weren't there, obviously.
If you're the winner, you can write to write anything you want, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know how we've talked about alternative sources and, you know, articles, et cetera, and contradicting the history books.
Right.
But it just makes you wonder if how much of that's the truth. Is
right.
The truth somewhere in the middle.
Lorianne, you are on. Thank you for waiting.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hey there, Denise.
Nice chat the other
hey,
night.
Donnie.
You
yes, we did have a good chat, I think.
And I thank you for it.
Yeah, that was a good
you
show.
You had me in tears at some point. I'll let you know.
Oh.
But I thank you
well,
for
I
it.
I didn't do that, but I know it's a struggle, you know, and it's, you know, it's even more compounded with what you're going through. So, you know, I hear you.
Yeah, I appreciated it.
Yeah. But a really good show. I think we all were touched.
And, so.
Yeah.
I'm
I
just,
was,
you know, sorry that I kind of came late on the scene. I was hoping that maybe smooth things over a little bit between you and Gibson. But we'll see what the future brings.
Can you hear this?
Are you there?
Nobody can hear
I thought
that.
Dom was trying to say something.
No, I was playing something and you can't hear it. Oh,
no,
man.
No,
oh,
so we just
God.
Kept
I thought you were going to try to say something.
Bunch of hooey. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Anyways.
hooey.
No, I appreciated the efforts. And yes, I was frustrated, but.
Yeah.
You know.
It is what
so,
it is.
Anyways.
We know.
I know
what you mean.
I think, you know, sometimes I just think, you know, when we're in chat and it's just typing, you know, it's kind of like you might hit each other's hot buttons unaware, you know, and kind of what's typed is kind of not interpreted the way that it meant. And like I said, lost in translation.
I was trying to watch or use my word carefully, train. I'm not saying I was perfect at it because I know I wasn't, but
right.
I was trying to choose my words perfectly, but or not perfectly, but carefully. So I heard something there, Don.
Now I hear music.
Hold on.
Jean, roses are red. All the leaves have gone green.
Yep.
And the clouds are so low, you can touch them, and so come out to the meadow, Jean.
All right, 1969, Oliver. There you go.
That was very sweet.
The girls were all singing that in the hallway, Jean. They loved that song.
That was very sweet.
All right.
So,
you keep disappearing from the chat, Donnie.
What's that?
You joined the conversation, left the conversation, joined and left. You keep disappearing out of the chat room.
Oh, I don't know why. Oh, I am out of the chat room. I don't know why that is. Wow. Sorry about that. There's nothing I can do.
Oh, no problem. Just thought I would make you aware.
I appreciate that. There's nothing I can do about it. I don't know how to restart the chat room.
Probably just refresh your studio and then click on chat again, and that should refresh everything. Maybe while you were fiddling around with the mixer, getting that to work again, maybe it...
That might
be. Things up.
We'll see. I'm bringing back the chat. I'm still not. Yes, I am. I'm back.
There you are.
All right. Now, what happened this week do we want to talk about? Anything?
Oh, more tyranny. More tyranny after that. More tyranny again.
Yeah.
No shit, right?
Well,
the Supreme Court's been busy.
Weren't they?
Well, yes.
They sure were. And isn't that nice? All I got was a text message from Pianchi. It said, hooray, hooray, hooray. I knew what he was talking about.
But that's more than an affirmative action, though. You know, they struck down... affirmative action. They struck down student loan forgiveness.
Yeah.
And the lady can run her business. Colorado
lady.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That didn't want to do a website for LGBTQ, ABCDEFG.
Plus. Don't forget the plus. Plus one.
Yeah,
I think
plus it. Minus
so
exclamation
wedding,
point.
It was for a wedding or something. They wanted a wedding website or something. But, you know, I was telling Scott about that. Out of everybody that they could have chosen to go to, I would be suing them for harassment. Because you know that there's others that they could have gone to that would have had no problem. There would have been no issues. It's almost like they were looking for a fight.
Exactly. Exactly. Like,
you
let's
know,
stick the church
it's like the
group.
Wedding cake. Well,
exactly.
You know, if they profess, if they tell you that, you know, our Christian beliefs, it should be, okay, no big deal. We'll find another place. You know,
I wouldn't want.
And instead.
On my happy day, I would not want somebody that does reservations about my wedding. You know what I mean?
Right.
I wouldn't want a priest that said, oh, you've been married three times, or not a priest because that's Catholic, but I wouldn't want an officiant that says, like, oh, hey, you've been married three times. I don't think this is a good idea. I wouldn't want a caterer.
Or are you sure this is what you want to do?
Yeah, I wouldn't want a caterer that you know, expressed reservations. I wouldn't want anybody that was against. I wouldn't want anybody that had said any reservations really being a part of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, say, for instance, the caterer, you know, him. It's like, would you go to a Jewish caterer and want him for whatever event you're catering? Probably not, because they don't eat pork.
Queen's government.
What? You know, so... But why would I seek out a Jewish, you know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense. But the affirmative action, I think, was the one that I was like, yes. Because I sat there and I told Scott, I said, if I'm getting into a place just based on my skin color, I would have a problem with that. That's saying, you are no good. The only thing good about you is your skin color is getting you a leg up. That's it. You don't have to have any skills, you know, you're actually pretty stupid because, you know, the only thing we're letting you in on is your skin color.
Right.
I would be offended.
Well, they struck that down. That was nice freedom of speech. And did you guys happen to catch the tweet from the Obamas about the affirmative
action? No.
Oh,
I wouldn't pay no attention to that.
Well,
you know, another thing about that, in schools, they didn't have to go about it if they didn't want to. But the only reason they did, for instance, universities, is because they are scared of being denied federal dollars. But businesses don't have to do like that. I tell you what affirmative action really is supposed to be. If Donnie, you was a contractor, and I can only speak very well on construction industry, the affirmative action is when the architect, through the general contract, disseminates information to your firm. Of course, you would have to sign up for it, letting you know projects that you could possibly participate in the building of. They go through what is facts like they used to do, or text message, or whatever method to make sure that anyone that wanted to knew about it and could participate. It didn't help you get no job, or should I say win a contract, because the stipulation for winning contract is low bid. Now, there's another monster off there, and that was what they call quotas. Quotas was wrong, and it was misused. Because I know someone, his name was Mr. Steele, S-T-E-E-L, I believe it was. He had a contract to install the seat in the TWA dorm. Well, what general contractors would do, they would go out and try to find a company like his, and they would run the material costs through him. And that would be their nerve. It's just like Hunter Biden. Don't have no experience whatsoever. But there they are playing the game. So that's how it was misused. And then you had universities like Harvard and Yale. What they done is that they started giving black kids points on the college entrance exam before they even sat down to the test. In the case that I read, it was 310 points. They would give Hispanics, I believe it was 170 points. They would give white students zero, and they would deduct from the Asian 140 because, technically, the whole damn classroom could be full of Asians because of the effort and the work that they put in studying. So,
right.
What did the Obamas tweet?
Okay, hang on. I'm going to, Benny, Benny did a good show on this. Now you got to he'll tell you where they're at.
That's right. When the Supreme Court ended systemic racism this week by destroying and striking down affirmative action in an incredible decision, Michelle Obama, of course, jumped on Twitter.com in order to defend systemic racism. Michelle Obama tweeting and crying and mewling and bemoaning, and that was quote tweeted by her husband, Barack Obama. Barack Obama. Saying that in the wake of Supreme Court's recent decision, it's time to redouble our efforts. We deserve a seat at the table. Well, what table exactly is Barack Obama sitting at? That's a good question. Because we went ahead and checked because I wanted to find out where were these two tweeting from. So they sent these tweets out like immediately after affirmative action was struck down. Where exactly were they tweeting from? And
out.
I discovered something. Here's the seat at the table where Barack Obama was. This is actually where the table – this is actually the table where Barack Obama says he deserves a seat at in a massive private yacht in Greece. Photos just leaked of Michelle Obama currently vacationing in a massive private yacht at a private island in Greece. This means the Obamas were rage-tweeting about being oppressed and victimized after the SCOTUS affirmative action ruling from this luxury yacht. There's Michelle, there's Barack, and there's Tom Hanks. Presumably their host. Maybe they're all on this yacht together. Let's go ahead and read, shall we? Where am I getting these photos? Power lunch. Longtime friends Barack Obama and Tom Hanks dine at waterfront restaurant together on their families during Greece vacation. Oh, wonderful. Do you take vacations in Greece on private yacht? I doubt it. I certainly don't. Barack Obama got dinner on the island of Sinsnos.
Well, it doesn't matter where they had dinner. They both tweeted out how oppressed, and Barack wanted a seat. We need a seat at the table, and here they are on this yacht with Tom Hanks and his girlfriend
and the Golden Spoons.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Pretty bad.
Yeah, they're so oppressed that they have their little vineyard and they have their little this house, that house.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah. It's pretty, there was a, my microphone's going. Here. Testing. All right. There was, I'm trying to find, there we go. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you, darling. Good.
All right. I'm trying to find, there was a Asian that was being interviewed on CNN, and she said something like Bianchi alluded to when he was talking. The Asian man said, we deserve to be at Harvard or Yale, or he didn't say it like that, but I'm just paraphrasing. That, we study twice as hard. Asian people study twice as hard. And that's why we deserve to be on equal footing with everybody else. And this lady was trying to...
Well, they're probably the most discriminated against.
Well, they are. Bianchi said it perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Asian people are really happy with this ruling.
Well, yeah, they technically two groups that could probably dominate a classroom. One is the Asians and the other is the Nigerian. And Nigerians is just as black skin-wise as Isaac Hayes and Wesley Snipes.
Right.
But you never comment about them. Now, there was an article that spoke on them, and it went like blacks were being admitted in the colleges. Then it asked the question, but which one? And then they went on to attack African immigrants. You had a black student body at Cornell University. And this article on that, I think I've shared it, which I probably could, where they was complaining to the administration that the administration was admitting too many blacks from Africa.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's, and Jesus, did you all see the tape? Go ahead, Gene. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it just reminds me of what my husband says. You know, somebody's, you know, going to be hung. You hang him with a new rope, or new rope, and they say that it's too tight. You know, you can't believe him no matter what.
Yeah, my grandma used to say you'd bitch if you were hung with a new rope.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that thing is pretty old. You're right. Absolutely.
So, I mean, now, they could have everything handed to them, and they would still bitch find something to bitch about. I mean, obviously, look at, like, the Obamas. Sharpton. I'm trying to think. There's just a lot of loudmouths out there that they're living high on the hog, higher than a majority of the white population, and they're still bitching.
Now, I guess you all seen the white guilt that was caught on camera, and when the black guy had a knife, and then the white man. Well, I'll just play it, and you can hear this white man. Check this out.
See video. A must see. From Charlie Kirk. White guilt caught on camera. Black man brandishes a knife and makes death threats. White man calls cops. Police arrest black man for terroristic threats. White man begins to cry. I didn't want him arrested. He's going to think I did this because I'm white and he's black. This is what decades of official racial scapegoating and abuse produce. A weeping, pleading underclass that begs police not to protect it from dangerous criminals. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I will play for you this clip, and then let's address the issue.
He was arrested and charged with simple assault and terroristic threats. Following his arrest, he was transported to the DeKalb County Jail.
Let's go to Paul Corpus.
I want to point out, it is, I believe, two black officers arresting the black man who brandished a knife. This is from 2022, May 18th.
Why is it happening? I'm being arrested?
Yes.
For what?
Okay. Obviously, just one second.
It's coming up.
Mm-hmm. But so he, I will need for you to fill out a statement form.
I don't want him arrested. I just want to leave him alone.
No, but he had a weapon on him, and it was terrorist threat.
Brandishing is not a crime with a knife. Brandishing is only a crime for a gun.
Terrorist threat, though.
Because he said, die to me, and had his knife out?
What, all that was done. The threats, everything.
Let me get a statement. I thought you were going to arrest him. I wouldn't call it. I just wanted to leave him alone.
I understand, but still have a job to do.
Now he's going to think I'm doing this because I'm white and he's black. Or he's homeless and I'm not. I don't want that.
But did he do what he did?
Yeah, but I don't want him thinking I did it because he's in whatever situation he's in. I just wanted to leave him alone.
I doubt that. I'll be right back, okay?
Oh, can you believe that?
Yeah, that's about the most ridiculous thing, other than those whites on their knees kissing the boots or the shoes of blacks that day. That one video. I just sent you emailed you two videos on the students complaining. Read that. Now, if that ain't racism, I don't know what it is.
Oh, gosh. Let me get to my mail. Yeah, Candace Owens said she'll never stick up for white people again. And after seeing that tape, she was disgusted just like we are. Oh, Tyson's head size. Uh-oh. How big is his head? 19. Yeah. Wow. There's quite a difference, isn't it? Sort of looks like Barry Bonds' head. Jesus.
But now Tyson didn't take no drugs, and a lot of people say Barry Bonds didn't take no drugs either. But they both head grew big.
Boy, they sure did. Yeah. Well, that's pretty good. Damn. Anyway, let's see. Rasmussen poll taken in 2013 asked American adults, are most white Americans racist? Are most Hispanic Americans racist? And are most black Americans racist? Of the three groups, the winner was blacks.
Yeah.
37% said most blacks were racist. 18% felt most Hispanics were racist. And 15% said most whites were racist. That's quite a difference. 37%.
Yeah, that was.
Geez, over double for whites. 38% of whites, let's see, yeah, I'm reading this right. 38% of whites felt most blacks were racist. Even blacks agreed, with 31% saying most blacks were racist, while 24% of blacks thought most whites were racist, and 15% believed most Hispanics were racist. This brings us to Cornell University. Black students united in whether the organization is engaging in racism against blacks. The BSU complains that the prestigious Ivy League school admits too many blacks from Africa and the Caribbean. We demand that Cornell admissions to come up with a plan to actively increase the presence of underrepresented black students on their campus. So I can't read anymore. I'm too far back. I can't see it very well, guys. So that's pretty amazing. That's from Larry Elder. And by the way, he's running for president. 37%.
Never heard of that before.
No. No. Unless they listen to you, Bianchi.
Oh, I get criticized for bringing that information up.
Well, I bet you do. I bet you do.
You can't win. You get criticized if you lie. You get criticized if you tell the truth. What the hell?
Yeah.
Kathy says, check your switchboard, Don.
Oh, good Lord. Okay, I got to get to my switchboard first. Hang on.
Is anybody else going to see Sound of Freedom this week?
Da, da, da.
Hello?
Kathy, you're on.
It's...
Or Daniel.
Mama could be here, too. I don't know.
No, she's not.
Is she
well,
not here?
It came up on Kathy's Facebook.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't have an account.
Let me get John Doe on. I think this... Who is this? You got a lot of...
No, it's not John Doe. You won the lottery again.
Oh, hey, Naz, what's up?
Oh.
No, I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling,
I thought
man.
It was New Orleans there for a minute.
No.
So hey,
did
I have a question.
So did I for a second there.
Shout out to him. Shout out to Brother Wayne. No, it's something worse than Brother Wayne. But anyway, how y'all doing?
It's very
what's
good.
What's up, Naz?
Let me get Frank on. I think this is Frank.
Howdy, howdy. You hear me
howdy.
Now?
Hey, Frank.
Hey.
Hey, Gene, by the way, and Lori Ann and Donnie and everybody else.
Cinnamon.
Frank, hello.
Hello. Good to hear
Cinnamon.
From you. Good to hear Naj too. And Frank,
right.
Hopefully he's on. And
right.
The whole
right,
gang
right.
Is circling.
Right.
Yeah, we got
so
a lot of.
Is anybody going to watch Sound of Freedom this week?
Sound of Freedom.
It's a movie. With Jim Caviezel?
With who?
Oh, wow, I like
it's
him.
It's a true story, fighting human trafficking and
yes.
Child trafficking.
Oh,
yes.
It...
Yes.
Where's it at, Gene?
I'm going to go see it. It's at limited theaters. It's coming in, or it starts on July 4th. You can go to Angel Studios or Angel.com. Yeah, or just Google Sound of Freedom, and you can find out where it's playing.
Where are you going to see it?
Flint West.
Is this a concert?
I'm going to go with a friend of mine.
Wait, you going to see that instead of Oppenheimer?
Instead of what?
Instead of Oppenheimer? What kind of America is this? Y'all ain't going to see the July 4th popcorn movie. You're going to see some, I don't know.
Jim Caviezel played Christ in Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's been eating off that for a long time. It's time for him to do something else. But anyway, Oppenheimer's coming out. I can't believe y'all not watching Oppenheimer. What the hell?
I think you got.
Well, this is the first movie that I think I'm going to in years. Years.
Really?
That I wanted to go to.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cinnamon,
yeah, he's been on doing a lot of interviews lately, a lot of really great interviews. I mean, he's talking about, you know, child and organ harvesting rings. He's talking about adrenochrome. He's been interviewing a lot lately ahead of this movie.
Yes.
The truth is coming out.
Well, if you can go see it, I would go see it. It's based on a true story.
Wow.
Real events. So if anybody has ever questioned if this stuff was real, like you had mentioned, like the adrenochrome,
mm-hmm.
you know, people think, oh, yeah, adrenochrome, ha, ha, that's a myth. That's a, you know, just whatever.
Uh-huh.
No, it's real.
Yep. Yep.
It is real.
It's awful, but it is real.
Yeah, it is awful.
And
I'll have to. We got a lot of people in the switchboard. Let me just say, push one on your keypad. I'll get you guys on. To see some Twitter people. I think I remember their numbers. So just push one. I'll get you on. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you wonder how a lot of these stars, air finger quotes, continue to look so young, and you think it's plastic surgery, it's not.
Right.
It's not.
Well, speaking of Twitter, your boy Elon set up some where they're going to start giving you a set amount of data for Twitter, and then after that, you're done. Unless you pay the $8 a month for a Twitter
boost. That's right. And then if you do, you get the news on top of your Twitter instead of all that other crap that goes on with Twitter.
Hmm.
And Twitter, you know, you get a lot of news.
I
support Elon Musk, Donnie. You know why?
Why is that?
Oh, he's an African.
Yes, he is.
Pierre,
yep.
you ruined
South
the
Africa.
Joke. You're supposed to say
no. He is. He was born in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to say he's African American. You messed up the joke, man.
African American.
He's African. He was born in South Africa.
Yeah.
The more African than majority of the people I know talk about it.
Yep. Born in South Africa, and his father owned the Emerald Mine, and he used that money to come over here, take over other people's business, then get government grants up into $500 billion, and here we are.
That's right, just like Mitt Romney.
Well, if the government wants to offer grants trying to entice people to get involved in things that America needs to be involved in, that's
right.
A good thing.
Hey, buddy, if they give you that much money, you are bought and sold, buddy. If they don't give you that money and give you complete autonomy.
I know people that the federal FDA, Food and Drug Administration, offered him a $10 million grant to alleviate the food desert in Cairo, Illinois, which is basically an all-black community. And the feasibility study came back negative, so, you couldn't do it. And that's the same thing I hear people talking about, saying that Clarence Thomas benefited from affirmative action. I asked him, how did he?
Well, he did. Yeah. In order to get in the Holy Cross and then Yale, he did. He was one of the first.
But how is that? You know, I was in commercial construction, and affirmative action was when the architect or contractor made sure that everybody that signed up to receive information about projects and the possibility that they can participate in them, that they got the notification. Notification could come by fax machine. Didn't have email at that time. All right, they would send it to you in the mail. That was affirmative action.
Right, you're talking
about. It didn't have nothing to do with you.
That has nothing
it had nothing to do with you being awarded the job.
Yeah, so basically with affirmative action, when it was first installed, he was one of those first, like, shock troops as far as students that was able to benefit. That's how he got into Holy Cross and then later on Yale. Now, when you say affirmative action, that doesn't mean, oh, he's black, he gets in. No, it means they take the pool of black students and pull the ones that they want, which would mean the best of the best of that particular pool.
We have to admit the man was smart. Unlike in
the assumption that affirmative action means not smart. I'm telling you, it has nothing to do with intelligence. Matter of fact, in order for you to be the affirmative action candidate, you have to be the standout amongst whatever particular marginalized group you come from. So the biggest
the way the program has been white women because white women were
a marginalized group when they put in affirmative action.
Well, yeah, the way the program has to work is that it offers people an opportunity to get involved. You know, in projects that I've done, I could have hired all Russians and met the goal that they were attempting to accomplished. You had an organization in St. Louis called MoldCan, acronym for Missouri, Kansas. It was the company that the city of St. Louis hired to monitor their goals in having black contractors on the job. They had three classifications. They had MBA, which is Minority Business Enterprise. That was for the city of St. Louis and also for the school district. They had DBE, which was the disadvantaged business enterprise, which applied to state contracts, like the Missouri Department of Transportation on highway projects. And then they had another one. I can't think of the designation right now. So that's how they work. It didn't give nobody, because of the color of their skin, a contract. It just offered them the opportunity to participate.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's why the
Harvard case is interesting. All right, go ahead. My bad.
No, I just bring in 336 on. Let the person know they're on.
Yeah, I'm here. Affirmative action. But the comment that you made about somebody made about the sex trafficking with the children and everything. I missed that topic there. I came in halfway at the end of it. That I just didn't know what you guys were talking about with that. That's all. Are you saying that?
You heard affirmative action, and you press one so fast.
No, we talked about earlier when I was on. That affirmative action.
Now, let me tell you,
beating up
there's a movie
There's a movie that is coming out on the 4th of July called Sound of Freedom with Jim Caviezel. And it's about sex trafficking, the adrenochrome, the organ harvesting, the saving of children that are in this what's going on. So, and it's based on real events.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's based on all true stories. I looked at that and I got it on my Facebook thing. But I was just saying, I thought you guys were like reflecting like to some of these other people that say there's underground tunnels with tens of thousands of, or there's millions of kids being trafficked around the world, and you know that type of thing.
I wouldn't know
that movie.
You join the right Facebook group, they'll tell you all of that. You join the right Facebook group, they'll give you whatever fantasy you want. They'll give it to you.
Look at how many kids go missing each and every year. And they're never found, no remains, no nothing.
800,000 in the U.S., 8 million worldwide.
Some of them run away.
Now look at when, was it a year ago, when Biden was flying these children to different areas of the country in the middle of the night? Where are those children now? Are they just gone?
45,000.
You know, I mean.
What? So you think Joe Biden is a human trafficker, a child trafficker?
No.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
The buck stops with him.
Man, he's involved with it. Come on. Man.
I think he's part
you
of
like
it. I think he knows it. The DHS. DHS is a part of
shoulders.
It.
When
it's
like
it. One thing. Well, it's one thing for a guy to be a weirdo. It's another thing for him to be a human trafficker. I think we can all establish those are two different things.
Well, I don't think
he's involved or has knowledge.
I would think human trafficking takes up a lot of time.
Well, actually, you're wrong. Actually, whoever said that they are not found, the numbers, 97.8% are found throughout the year that are reported missing. Out of the 500,000 that are reported missing, 97% of them are found.
Oh.
That's not the numbers that I heard.
No, me either.
Where did you get your numbers?
Let's see here. This is the Committee for Missing Children.
Huh. Well, I've never heard that.
I can put the link in the chat if you want.
Please. That would be awesome. If that's true, that's great. I just never heard that. Not at all.
Okay, I'll post it in the chat room.
Thank you.
But this is the PSYOP. This is the PSYOP that they play. They play on people, all these underground tunnels. There's children. Do you really think that if that were to be true, wouldn't we have the best of the best looking for these children, going out trying to find them? If you were the leaders of our even as bad as politicians are, the special forces we have, the people that specialize or trained in government ops and special ops and military personnel and CIA and all the other three-letter organizations. I was a part of one of them, actually. Don't you think they would use us to go out and find these kids and find out
we
would allow this?
Yes, they would. That's something that could get you elected. You show up for the photo op. You got 20 children around you. You got on some kind of tactical vest, like you actually did some work. And you say, see, I went and got these children. I saved them. Next thing you know, that person is a congressman on the way to the White House. Like, that would be easy.
Okay. You would think that that would be true. You would think that that's true. But you have no idea how many of those three-letter agencies and senators and congressmen and legislators are part of it and benefit from this. They don't want
benefit from children being taken and children being sold.
Yes.
Okay, so the number y'all gave us to start off, y'all said 800,000.
That's in the United States.
Right, that's what you gave us, 800,000. So let's think about how many families that is. And these families are just silent. They don't have support groups. They don't have a big network of people like, 800,000 kids. It's more likely that the numbers are exaggerated and you're seeing something that is trying to convince you that the world is a different way than what it is. I'm sorry, because, 800,000 is a lot. The brother said they got a 97%
I agree with you,
rate of bringing the kids back. So I don't know how this works with the, with y'all numbers.
I know. I was listening to the Blaze, and they had these are retired CIA and FBI agents and DEA. They're all retired, and they started an organization, and they had one of the leaders on, and they're underground, and they are trying to find these missing children. Now, I don't know how many. He didn't say how many, but there is a lot of missing children out there. I don't know, about 800,000.
Out of 13 years of work, one of them actually he's found 200 children. 200 children out of 13 to 14 years.
800,000 is too high. The number is way lower than that. But the real number, no matter what, is still concerning because, hell, there's somebody.
Oh, yeah. If one child gets missing, yeah, it's a tragedy, and it should not happen. Yes, I agree. But the numbers are just psyops to you know, just like the Q movement and these underground tunnels, these Getty tunnels and everything, that, you know, the adrenochrome and the elite are taking this magical potion to keep them young. You know, I mean, it's all a psyop to keep us away from the bigger picture and what's really going on.
Y'all can run. Well,
I disagree with that. Adrenochrome is a real thing. There's all kinds of stuff on it, all kinds of people that have reported on it, all kinds of people that testify to it. Also, I believe it was a report from DHS that came out last year that I think it was migrant children have gone missing that they cannot account for. And that's just here in the U.S. alone. You know, this is a much bigger thing. I think the PSYOPs is not focusing more. It's really going on. And
yes,
struggling us with,
Pride
Month and all this other shit.
I sent you an email, Donnie, on all those kids that's missing. And these are black kids and one white girl missing from Berkeley, which is adjacent to Ferguson. And 7 years in the St. Louis area, you had over 219 kids missed. And I know one of them, his name is Christian Bernard. I know his grandmother. And they never found him.
Right.
Can I give Naz the website to go to and the numbers? Okay, we've got childfindofamerica.org. childfindofamerica.org. They claim it's estimated 2,300 children are missing every day in the U.S., missing for many reasons, benign reasons, misunderstandings. They ran away, lost, stranded, or injured, family abduction, stranger abduction. You know, it's just not, they're not always taken for pedophilia, but they end up in
and
this.
Who created this website? Who sponsored this? This is a, who funds this website, this Child Find?
I don't
this
know.
The host is a GoDaddy. Well, I'm just saying that, because there's a lot of psyops. There's a lot of trickery out there that's not true. You're saying that all those children are going missing every single day. That's impossible. There's only 262
It is not
million
it's
in
impossible.
The United States.
It's impossible. That's what you're saying.
Yes, it is, because I worked for the government undercover. I know.
I don't care.
It's a lie.
Let me get in real quick. So there's a meeting in the middle here. I think numbers when he said 800,000. I think using the website that he's using, we probably can't verify that as a credible website or as a number that we should all look at as a legit number. But human trafficking is going on. All that stuff is going on. That stuff is happening. Nobody is saying that doesn't happen in America. That doesn't exist in
correct.
The world.
This is a government website.
We agree.
We were just talking about the government.
30 minutes ago.
Juvenile justice and delinquency prevention. OJJDP. If you work for the government, you should know. Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Look, he was just saying he has to go to the
website.
Not really
there's a lot of truth. There's a lot of truth. People didn't believe. People didn't believe the stats on the number of black babies that was being aborted per day. At this height, it was like 50 per hour, 1,200 a day.
Yeah, everyone was just saying earlier how the government can't be trusted, how they're all a bunch of liars, and now we're trusting them, whatever they say about kids.
We're giving you what you want to hear, man.
But that's not the government, though. A .org is not the government. .gov is the government.
Exactly.
Well, the reports come from the local. The reports come from the local community to the government, federal government agency. They don't start with
But
them.
We're not using a number from a federal government agency. We're using a number from a .org, which means either a nonprofit
business. What I think Daniel is trying to say is the information they're getting is from the government sites.
Exactly.
That they're reporting.
Okay, which government
He's
site?
He's not saying that the
case?
Site.
I just gave it to you.
Let me finish my statement, please.
That's not a government site.
Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, OJJDP.OJP.GOV. That is gov.
All right, I'm going to go to it.
Yeah, but you gotta look at the host name.
What
the internet's a very tricky place.
Hey, wait a minute.
You gotta be careful.
They're in North St. Louis, and
that
I know of this place.
Number. That's the only Okay,
guys, hold on. Hold on, please. We gotta go one at a time. Pianchi, I heard you trying to get in. Go ahead. And then Naz, you're next. 336, you're
in North St. Louis on Chambers Road, I-70, 367. There's an abandoned circular hotel. It's a tower. And the kids in the neighborhood walking to school complain and say, there's kids upstairs in that building. And nobody paid them any attention. And they were being held there for transportation or being sold off. So, yes, that possibility is very, very much possible. There's that many and probably more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know they found, they didn't say how many kids, boys and girls, and they were sex trafficking in Texas. Now, I know that's not everybody, and it's probably never going to be, they'll probably never find a mom and dad, unfortunately. Those are the kids that came over the border by themselves.
Across the border?
Yeah, which is
I remember that.
That's sad.
Yeah, I remember
that. Yeah, and we all agree. We all agree one is too many.
Right, no matter the number. That's true.
No matter what the number is.
So what
one
are we arguing
too many.
Right.
That
so
is the
arguing?
You're arguing because, okay, can I say something real quick?
Yes.
Just because you personally do not view a site as a air finger quotes credible site does not mean it is not a credible site. Just because it doesn't have ABC, MSNBC, or CNN, or .gov, or whatever, does not mean
it's
not a
credible
site.
Then how do we verify it?
Let me finish speaking, please. I am trying to speak.
Let Gene finish. Go ahead, Gene.
In this day and age, any mainstream media, you cannot believe. Government was going to tell us what they want us to know, not what is actually the truth.
Like
I don't care if you're undercover. I've got two sons military. They only know what they're privy to. They're not going to know everything.
Right.
And if you work undercover, you're not going to know everything. You're on a need-to-know basis. And if they think you need to know it, then they tell you. Okay, that's how that all works. You can have top secret clearance, and there's still things you're not going to be able to see. You can have the extremely high clearance, and you're not going to see what they don't want you to see. Okay?
But you better not take those papers.
Because there's a lot of citizen journalists that have been uncovering a lot of stuff. A lot of them. And just because they don't have a PhD or a doctorate in journalism or whatever does not mean the information that they are giving is untrue.
Yeah, a lot of them come up missing too.
Joseph Gibson put it into chat room. Somebody did anyway. the Committee for Missing Children, and they do say 97.8% of the kids are found.
Right.
Because for,
for the most part, we're talking about runaways. The other stuff, sex trafficking and all that other stuff, those are the outliers. That's the smaller percentage. And again, when I say I'm not disputing what you're saying or saying that your website is incredible, what I'm saying is when you bring up a website and I say, okay, that website says 800K. So now I take that to other official websites and try to see what numbers they have so we can get to the best number or get to the most accurate information. That's what I'm saying.
You're meaning a government website, correct? Gene, wait a minute. I'm asking.
I'm going to tell you. What I'm saying is if somebody makes a claim, it is up to them to back that claim. So how do you figure out if somebody's claim is real? Well, you look at other people in that same industry or that same area and see what numbers they have and see if all the stuff matches up. It's not about government or non-government. It's about, okay, credibility requires consensus. It requires you to look at multiple scientists or people who are involved in whatever research you're doing, figuring out what the closest thing to accurate is. So I get what you guys are saying. Don't trust the government. The government lies, yes. But the government also gets some stuff right because they have the resources to get the statistics right. So we can't just throw it out the window and say all government information is invalid. Like, that's not true either. They're pretty good at keeping track of some things that they probably shouldn't. But go ahead.
Well, some things, though, that they're, but like I said earlier, they're going to tell you what they want you to hear. They're going to tell you what they want you to know. Doesn't mean the actual information is accurate. We don't, I mean, that's like saying that, yes, accurately, the Twin Towers was taken down by a terrorist attack by two planes when there's several videos, et cetera, to prove different.
If the CIA is listening, Jean thinks that on her own. I believe the towers were attacked by terrorists from Afghanistan. But I believe government agents.
I did not say that. I did not say that I believe that they were taken down by a terrorist.
How did the towers come down?
That's
I don't understand. What is she saying? I don't understand.
I would love to know how they actually came down. Because, you know what? They actually look like controlled demolition to me. They look like controlled demolition. They fell pretty much right in place with all those other buildings around them. And if a plane hits it at top, how does it fall from the bottom?
Well, Donnie Sue does not endorse or agree with all statements made on this show.
Don can speak for himself, I guarantee.
Thank you, why are you trying to get Donnie in trouble? Why are you trying to get him in trouble?
I've known Don for years and years and years, and I know Don will speak for himself.
Anybody disputes it, you will be targeted. That's why I always stay away from it. That damn Bin Laden, he was good at getting those planes over there. I blame Bin Laden. I just stick with the story.
You're just going to leave it at that. Bin Laden. It works. Yeah, I'm with Gene. But this isn't Donnie. This is Jim saying
that. Yeah, right. Okay.
Hey, y'all, real quick, the Committee for Missing Children, they have, have assisted in the recovery of 1,200 out of 1,500 missing children. Okay, that's a lot. What we're talking about are not elementary school runaways or they
Right.
That's not what we're getting at. You know, it's a lot bigger.
Yeah, I get that.
Yes.
You know, pedophilia, stuff like that. We're not talking numbers.
Go watch the movie. I mean, go watch the movie Sound of Freedom to get
there you
information.
Go.
It's based on a true story. So,
Trina. I'm sorry, Gene. I'm going to see Oppenheimer. They got my man from Peaky Blinders in there, and he's blowing up stuff. I'm going to watch Oppenheimer. I'm sorry.
Donnie, read that headline of their email official.
Got a nice long weekend. You can see more than one, right?
I don't know if that trick works anymore. Remember when we were young and you could go in a movie theater, you watch one movie, and you could cross over to another section and watch
that's
it?
That's right.
I don't know if they allow that no more, man.
No, they
I think
don't.
They clear the room. They clear the room.
I'm looking for my...
Hey, Doc, can you take me to the green room, please?
Yeah, hang on, okay, Gina? I got to go to my mail room.
Hey, y'all noticed
well,
the
see, now,
Donnie
can I just
Holt,
say something here? The,
when I
that,
came
what
in,
said
he got away from the conversation of affirmative action because he knew I was going to kick y'all ass on it, so he got off it. Donnie's a very good host. You see that skill right there?
You see, the meaning of words is so very – the trickery of words is so very it's so hard to see reality today because you said based on a true story. Okay, do you know what that means? Because then you have also inspired by a true story, okay? What makes a true story? What do you call a true story? Hollywood has many different versions of what a true story is. So just because it's a movie and it says it's based on a true story, that's not based on actual events that happened. That's a filmmaker's exaggerated, inspired version of a true story. You see? All these things, it's all trickery. It's all a psyop. And you got to be careful
what
you believe, what you think.
I don't even know if you want to go to the level of trickery there, because for the most part, the true story is a film people wouldn't watch. But based on a true story means you get to take liberties. You get to add stuff. That movie back in the day about the Kentucky Final Four team with, you know, all of – well, I can't think of what the name of the movie was. But in the movie, the black kids came back to their dorm rooms, and the N-word was all over their dorm rooms, and trash was in there and all sorts of stuff. None of that stuff happened to the Western Kentucky team. But for the movie, to make it more juicy, they put that in the movie. So,
sounded
I mean,
good, right.
Kind of how
right.
that game goes, right.
So wait a minute.
Well,
that goes
on, in the case of Sound of Freedom,
though,
I'm going to interject you. In the case of Sound of Freedom, they worked very closely with the guy that is the center of this story. They worked very closely with him, and they really tried to make the movie as accurate as they could based on working directly with this guy. So when it comes to this movie, I am more confident that there isn't as much embellishment in this movie than compared with a lot of others, because I get Gibson's
point.
Is it on
Netflix?
Yeah, a lot of
it is
embellished.
Is it on Netflix?
It's in theaters. It's coming in. Sound of Freedom is coming into theaters on July 4th.
Yeah, but
I'm
going to
tell you what's going on in AMC theaters.
Yeah,
let me tell you what's going on in AMC theater. They're going to start charging you for what seat you want. Front row, middle, and back.
I saw that.
They're going to start charging for the seat you want?
The location of the seat.
It's
like airlines.
Premium seats, just like a concert, there are premium seats in the theater, so therefore they get to charge you more.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
You want to sit in the middle theater?
Something? Aren't movie theaters hurting enough as it is, trying to get people to come in and fill the seats? Now they got to charge for the premium seats? Like, that's, you know, it's like they're shooting themselves in their own feet.
No, that actually makes people want to go more.
Do not go to primewire.com and watch these movies for free. Do not do that. I'm telling you, do not do that, okay? Don't go to primewire.com and watch all the new movies for free. Don't do it.
Prime Wire. You didn't hear it on this show. Pianchi sent me this. One small St. Louis County town is missing dozens of teens. Now, this is back in 2017. Right now, there are hundreds of missing kids all around the St. Louis area. Children are disappearing at an alarming rate, especially in one area, North St. Louis County, in the small community of Berkeley, Missouri. alone, 33 kids have disappeared since 2000. Well, damn. Why haven't, you know, if this is going on, seems like we would all hear about it.
Well, it seems like
Berkeley is right next
killer in Berkeley
is right next to Ferguson, too.
Is it?
It sounds like we got a serial killer up there they need to find.
It said they were finding them dead. It said they missing. Now, that's just that one. City, Berkeley is outside of the city of St. Louis. But within the city of St. Louis boundaries itself, it's over 219. In North St. Louis, that's the black population.
Wow, that's a lot of kids. That's a lot of kids. But, you know, I'm sure there's runaways. I'm sure some are, unfortunately, probably dead.
Got to think about the trafficking thing where these people get these kids or whoever, put them on OnlyFans or some kind of webcam thing and then make money off them. Supposedly, that's why they arrested that Andrew Tate guy. They said they kidnapped women over there in Eastern Europe and would put them on webcams and they made a bunch of money off.
Yeah, that's what they're going to charge him with, I guess. And, yeah, they're making money. People are making money on these young people. They caught one abusing a two-year-old kid, 2 years old. Mm. Unfortunately.
Sick world out here, man.
Yeah, that's terrible. Okay, Gene, you want to go to the green room? Somebody talk. Me and Gene's going to the green room. We'll be back in a...
We're going on a date, guys.
I'll host, Donnie.
That was a joke.
He would never allow that anyway.
I can't believe it.
Go ahead, Lorianne.
I remember posting a while back, I think I might have even posted it in our group chat on Facebook, that there was a Child Protective Services whistleblower talking about how DHS and Child Protective Services are all part of this trafficking, and they totally know what's going on. And she was testifying before a Senate committee, I believe it was. So it's like, how do you not believe somebody that under penalty of perjury is testifying in front of a Senate subcommittee talking about how Child Protective Services and DHS are a part of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when we say that, do we think that's a directive from up top of DHS, or do we think there's some rogue elements in DHS who've done some things? But for the most part, these are everyday good people who wanted to work in this because they were concerned about children. You see what I'm saying? Like,
I do not believe that.
It's tough when you
bit.
Talk about these. You don't believe that?
No, sir. Yeah. You know, when I've just seen, I'm not sure, but I've seen too many videos where they show up to get your kids. They don't show up to tell you, hey, you need to change a little something. We got a call. They show up for your kids. I saw it happen to one of my friends here in North Alabama about 2 months ago. There was a call.
Yeah.
There was a call in, and this person claimed she was buying weed for her 14-year-old son. So they come in, and she had to send her kids away for 2 weeks. Wasn't even a family member, just a close friend of hers that, you know, lives within the area. But she couldn't see her kids for 2 weeks until she cleared her name. She had to pass a drug test, which she did, and she had to go to classes for 6 freaking weeks when she never did nothing. They acted on a call-in that was completely bogus,
mm-hmm.
and they took her kids. Happens all the time, man. Happens
it
every
does.
Day.
Yeah, that's
happening. You know, do you know what the other calls they get are? They show up to the place and they see the kids haven't eaten in 30 days. They show up to the place and they see
right.
the kids' skin is peeling off because somebody is beating that kid with a belt
Man.
And extension cord
Oof.
Or scalding them with hot water. Like,
you're right.
Those people see some stuff, man. And for you to, like, and I'm not accusing you of doing this, but just
yeah.
if we paint everybody with that brush, we make it seem as if it's a systemic thing and they plan on doing this, when I think we're talking about some people who are acting outside the law within the organization. But for the most part, dude, that you got a lot of good people who are working there because they're concerned with children, man.
Yeah, I think they've seen so much that their first impression, no matter what the scene is at the house, is to look, let's get these kids away first, and then we'll deal with it. You know, but that is not the way to deal with it, man. You cannot come and take someone's kids from some phone call. Now, if they see some bruises or something like that, if they have some, probable cause to go on, sure. A phone call from God knows who is not probable cause.
No, they should be subjected to liability and repercussions. But, Naj, I wish they would use that same analogy when they talk about slavery and say that all whites had slaves and was evil to blacks.
Right.
I don't know where that conversation came from, but okay, you got it, man. No, not all.
Well, they were talking about cheer from being snatched, and you took it to people in these institutions are bad. Well, I just made mention. I said, well, yeah, Daniel agreed that you got some people in institutions is bad, but I just thought I'd say that should also apply when you talk about slavery and say that all whites had slaves. I ain't saying you hear it, and they would mean evil people in some organizations, even call them devils.
Yeah, I deserve it. Enslaving other people, that's one of the highest things you could get to as far as the order. What we got? Genocide, human slavery, child trafficking. Ooh. Like, there's a list of things, I guess, for the levels of hell that you can go to.
Yeah, pedophilia.
That I think will get you in first. Right. Those things will get you in first place.
Mm-hmm.
But to piggyback on the thing I was trying to say before about it, like, just think about it, man. These people have decided this is the industry they want to work in. There's some good people there, man. That's all I'm trying to say. But
there are.
Of course, it's a lot of bad going on, but I don't know how you solve that. And especially
to our regular programming.
Oh, go ahead.
All right. I'm back. Conservative Nation, Lorianne will be with you in just a second. And welcome, Robert.
Okay.
Thanks for coming. Go ahead, guys.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
But yeah, white women should be somewhere running in the streets and throwing stuff, because affirmative action being repealed in colleges is going to lead to affirmative action being appealed as far as the workplace, and a lot of white women managers are going to go away. Like, that's about to happen real quick. They are going to suffer the most.
Well, that's like you saying that white women managers not qualified for the job. Is that what you're saying?
No, not saying that at all.
Well, you're saying that white women managers are going to go away as if they are holding their job and not being qualified or being placed in it because of merit.
That's getting to the heart of the issue. Thank you, Bianchi, for asking that question.
That is really, really sad.
A second, before you decide it's sad, let's see if we can put a smile on your face. The white women who are qualified.
Yeah, well, like the view.
Well, calm down. You know, you can smile. You don't have to be mad at me all the time. The white women managers who are qualified to be CEOs, CFOs, and all these other things that they were able to get because affirmative action was in place, and that gave them the opportunity to have the job. Guess what happens when they don't have that obligation? They get overlooked. They get pushed to the side. And you'll see
that's because the businesses must have alternative motives for being in business. You know, here's the thing. I've seen white women in management position and position of responsibility for a long time, but I have never seen black women in management position or positions or responsibility. So So if you are sitting on a plane you hear a co-pilot and a pilot, a female black, you don't think, were they affirmative action?
Why would you? But again, I think the problem is you're still not understanding the definition. Affirmative action means this: marginalized groups will have the opportunity that they didn't have before and be assessed the same way as everybody else. That's what affirmative action is. So I'm not saying white women were less capable or they didn't get in on merit or anything like that. I'm saying the scale shifted to one side, that in order for them to have they have to take special.
Let me tell you, I think I understand affirmative action. I think I understand affirmative action a little bit better than you after being in commercial construction.
Yeah, not with the
deal. Well, let me finish saying what I got to say. It's something about you liberals that don't want us conservative blacks to speak our mind. Now, as I was saying, I think I know affirmative action better than you do. After being in commercial construction as a steel erector, erecting buildings with my own company, like the ones that fell in 9/11, I understand what that's all about. And I understand how it works.
Let me put you on the spot.
Uh-oh.
Before affirmative action, pre-affirmative action, what were the rates of white women in construction in Missouri? You don't have to answer that because I know you don't know off the top of your head. I don't either.
Well, you had K Day.
Well,
let me answer. Now you ask me a question, then you want to qualify my answer to it.
I'm not
saying I can't give you an answer, but I can give you an answer. None of that. I can give you some names. You had one. Her name was K Bates. You had another. Her name was Edith. She had J&J Erected. And you probably had one or two others. Oh, you had one black female. Her name was Dory Weiss. So, yes, there were women that was in that business.
And by the way,
how big is the state of Missouri, sir?
We don't a company that's headquartered out of St. Louis don't work the whole state. But there's other pockets of companies in other areas of the state. I never worked the whole state.
I asked you that question.
Well, listen, I done told you several times. You come here on these shows and you like to cut in on people.
We're
going to run you off, and then
you're
going to be bitching and saying we was racist.
Here we go.
A black man ran you off. As I was saying before, like you try to weasel in and put in some slanted argument.
The
contractor in the city of St. Louis don't work the whole state. I work the city of St. Louis, St. Louis County, and parts of Southern Illinois. I wasn't working in Cape Girardeau. I didn't work up in Kansas City, although I do know some that's up in Kansas City that was black. So that's what I'm saying. You're making these allegations, making these excuses, and you don't really know what you're talking about, but that's okay. We can't expect you to know everything.
Yeah,
well,
so
Can I ask a question?
The point was Missouri is a big state, a lot of companies, a lot of people. So when somebody says, well, I knew somebody, Kathy Smith, back in 72, like, dude, that has no relationship when we're talking about scale, huge numbers, a whole state, let alone a whole country. So when you come in with these homespun analogies and telling us, I knew somebody, dude, they don't mean nothing. Not in that form of data. Sorry.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. So what you were saying is it should not go on qualifications or merit. Strictly, if we just strictly went on qualifications and merit, white women and black people would not ever qualify. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying America.
So
discriminatory.
Why is there a problem with just going with...
You just
asked me a question.
Let him answer. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, he said no.
You said can black people and white women get those positions based off of merit? And what I'm trying to expose isn't that they're not meritorious. The issue is when you got an old boys club hiring practice And admissions practice, population gets in. So we're talking about affirmative action, and people think that that means black people. When we're talking about Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Cornell,
we got
these
that.
Places
we got
have
that.
A
you
low
said that multiple times.
Right. Just hold on, Gene. I know you're getting antsy. These places have low
population. Let me ask you a question, please.
Stay out, Bianchi. These places have.
No, I'm not going to stay out because you're all over the damn place. You right now, you're in
no,
the Congo.
I'm
rambling.
Directly. I'm answering her question directly. She thinks my assumption those people are less qualified. What I'm trying to say is discriminatory hiring and admission to the side, which is why you had to put this in place to begin with. Now, after you take it away, but to discriminate without any legal backlash, so that's what. Now, when you look at Harvard, you know the majority of students who are unqualified get in on? Legacy. If you're a legacy student or your grandfather's going to buy a new library, they will push you up to the front and you get in. That's 40% of the student body there.
Yeah, I heard that yesterday. Yeah, 40%.
Well, yes, that's who it is. It's legacy.
Well, what's wrong
now,
with
if
that?
If you really wanted, if you
what's wrong with that?
That would
that's,
be,
that's
would
like
be the
being
well,
Hunter Biden.
Hold on.
Let me ask you your question, Gene, because he's not answered.
Well,
you're talking
well,
about.
Well, hold on a second.
Hold on.
It's, what I'm saying is, so there is a problem going based off of qualifications and merit, and there is
no.
a way to do so. But
no,
there is
you're
a way.
You're making the same
shush.
Mistake.
I let you
you're
ramble,
the same
dude.
Mistake.
I let you ramble.
Yeah,
I let
you
both
listen because then you would know.
All right.
Well, hell, I'm trying to listen to you, and what the hell you saying don't make no damn sense. So I can imagine what's going on in Gene's head.
This is not difficult
to
understand.
Okay, go ahead.
There is a way to do this.
Go ahead, Jeannie. I'm listening.
There is a way to do it.
Go ahead.
Each applicant is assigned a number. Okay? When they put their application in, it is assigned a number prior to going to HR or whatever. No name, no race, no gender. Then they only have to hire only on merit and qualification.
Okay, so what I just told you about legacy students, do you think they want to do that?
Okay,
no.
Legacy students, Bianchi, legacy students is Hunter Biden to Joe Biden. Okay, they get the favoritism. You know, they get the little slap on the wrist or the little ups because of who they are.
You know
and
why
I think that's wrong as well.
There you go.
Well, you know why
they
use legacy.
They don't get a little.
You know why they use legacy
in.
Students?
They get in.
You know why they use legacy in getting into trade unions and also getting into
because they got money.
They coming from
no,
a
they got
parent.
Money for the
they coming from
the endowment.
They coming from a household where their child should have been indoctrinated with the do's and don'ts and also been conditioned on how to do well when they get in that institution because their parents did. My grandson could walk into the ironworks because there was two legacies in that commercial craft before he got there. And they know that he would be well indoctrinated, and just like when he came home yesterday with a pair of work boots. Not yesterday, the day before. He came in and showed us. He said, Papa, I got these boots. And he made sure that the label on it that said Made in America was pointed to my face. Why is that? Because I taught him that coming up. Always shop for
right.
Made in America.
Yeah, you're making a really bad comparison. So
that's
the
legacy.
No, the Harvard student's legacy is about when they have a dinner or they have whatever little hidey-tidy thing where all the fancy people come in, can you afford the $2,000 a plate thing? And then also, can you contribute at the end of the night $5,000 to the endowment of Harvard, which is over, you know, it's over $50 billion. That's what legacy is about. Legacy is about money.
It's about, it's not about in that it's situation, yes.
Wait,
in that situation, yes. But also in Bianchi's
and
situation,
it be.
Yes.
Wait.
But also in Bianchi's situation,
it should be. Different thing.
Hello, everybody.
You know why it should be, you know why it should be, Gene? Because if you go to Harvard and get an education, that education is damn near guaranteed to pay you money whereas you would have residual income to pay for a $2,000 dinner. It's a lot better than what it would be if you went to Howard.
All right.
I understand that.
Can I say one thing?
Wait a minute, Cinnamon. Hang on. Let me get the floor. Go ahead, Cinnamon.
Go ahead, Cinnamon.
Okay. I just want to say, all of this comes down to we are human beings. And unless we get AI to pick to do our hiring or to do our teaching or anything like that, it's all humans. We're going to have humans that are going to look for the easy way out. And so every time something turns around, it comes out, it's an awesome idea, it supposedly clicks all the boxes and fixes a certain problem, and then somewhere, somebody down the line adds in something else or takes something else out of it, and it turns into a shit show.
It's still a human thing.
It's just because
I'm next.
Because it's human. We do this.
That's a good point.
Okay, hang on.
There's nothing wrong with doing.
Okay, I got it. Hey, Cinnamon, are you done?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm done.
I got Joseph Gibson. Hold on, Gene. I want to talk about his show Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. They have a group that are looking for solutions. So check out Joseph Gibson Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And Lorianne, you can tell us about Conservative Nation Media because I really don't know. So you tell us about Robert's show and yours. Not Lorianne's quiet. Are you kidding me?
Oh,
I just to get back to my phone to unmute. Yeah, Conservative Nation Media show is on Friday night, right here at Blog Talk Radio. And then, of course, my show is tomorrow night, Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne, right here on Blog Talk, same time as this show, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern.
What time is Robert?
Robert, I believe, is also 6 p.m. Correct me if I'm wrong. On it last night, so yeah.
9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Yes.
Okay.
Lorianne, in Hollywood, they would beat you with a bag of nails for missing your cue to jump in on a plug. You cannot miss a plug opportunity, man.
Yeah.
I was away from my phone.
Uh-huh,
I need to
right.
be allowed 15 seconds at least to be able to get back to my phone and hit unmute.
Conservative
Nation Media has confirmed it is 9 p.m. Eastern. Yep.
Yes. And I will be checking his show out. I did not even know he had a show. I should have guessed it when I seen Conservative Nation Media. I should have guessed it. I'm a little slow, but I will be there next week. And Lorianne's show is always a good show on Sunday night. And they had a lively discussion last week. It was really good. So check it out. And Joseph Gibson's show on Tuesday night, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Looking for solutions. Join the club, man.
Now you're supposed to tell them your Cash App, Donnie.
Speaking of solutions.
Your Cash App to send you.
Yes, yeah, we can, baby.
Who was the person that was in the chat the other day that was arguing with me about the prison and industrial complex? Is that person on the show tonight?
Even though it
was you?
No, that was me. It was me.
Which one? Who? Oh. Who was it?
It was Lori.
Okay.
About drugs? About addicts?
About the prison. Yeah.
That was me.
Okay, that was you. All right, okay. So what was the, I don't understand what that was about. Okay, well, that's what I took it as. But so what was the problem? I don't understand. What was your point there? I don't get it.
Well, your first statement, my understanding was that if they're an addict, and they send me in jail just because they can't afford to pay their fines and they're an addict.
I don't think people should be locked in jail. Yes.
Okay, my point is this. Until you live with somebody in active addiction or around somebody in active addiction, you have no idea what they will do to get their next fix. And you had said that you were locked up with, and you had said that you were locked up with people that were addicts. Well,
yeah, a thousand of them.
Okay, addicts are very good at manipulating to get what they want. My daughter literally physically attacked me. I never in a million years thought my daughter would attack me. And she did. She's an active addict. Okay? They will steal. They will lie. They will cheat. They will hurt anybody. Anybody.
Yep.
They don't care who to get
not
their
every addict. Not every addict will do that. Not every addict will do that. But a lot do that. But that's creating another crime, though. You know?
Right. I agree. And that's what I said. If they are committing a crime, yes, they need to be locked up. And I'm sorry that our system is messed up as far as, you know, they can't pay their fines. They go to jail. That's the way it is. It's no different than...
But we shouldn't
than,
be doing that. We shouldn't do that. Because that's not working, is it? Is it working?
No, it's no different than a dad that can't pay child support and goes to jail.
But
okay, I agree. It doesn't work. It doesn't
right
make
now
sense.
Yeah.
But that, okay. But just because they're an addict doesn't mean that they don't belong in jail.
Yeah, but this is why zero tolerance doesn't work, and this is why one size fits all doesn't work. These things have to be adjudicated in a way to where you're looking at the person and understanding the whole dynamics behind that person, and then you can do it somewhat correctly, but also we got to get beyond the idea of jail as always punishment. There has to be a real rehabilitation factor in there if we want this thing to bear fruit. But if we want to keep doing what we're doing, we're going to.
Court ordered rehab doesn't work either. Not for an addict.
Sometimes it does.
The only time rehab is going to work is when the addict decides they want it to work.
Mm-hmm. But why
they
should we force
the
person?
System.
Hang on, can I interrupt now? Why should we force a person to make their choice? If the person doesn't want to get help, then who are we in society to say you have to? If you want to go out and use drugs and do what you're going to do to destroy your body, that's your choice. As long as you don't hurt
anyone
else.
Okay, but do you know how many of them get behind the wheel of a car? Do you know how many of them get behind the wheel of a car and pass
can't
out and kill people?
No. Yeah, I know. But until they do that, no crime has occurred. We can't sit there and say, what if, this is going to happen. Otherwise, we have a police state then, and we're right back to the same prison industrial complex again. We can't do that.
You're not listening. If they get picked up for drugs and get put in jail, that's better than them being on drugs and get behind the wheel of a car and killing a family of six.
Why?
I know bartenders that were jailed because they stole a person one drink too many and they went out and killed somebody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah.
Okay, the mindset of an addict, you really can't grasp. I can't even grasp it. Okay,
I understand
that,
but prison is not a place
to get help. That's the difficulty of the situation. We've done that already. Lock them up, throw away the key. That doesn't work. We need some rehab for them. We need some ability to discern somebody who's dangerous from somebody who's non-dangerous. We need to put a lot of...
They never appear to be dangerous. My daughter never appeared to be dangerous. Never.
Wait. I went through the same thing Gene did, but without the violence. Didn't see no violence, but I did see stealing. And Cinnamon and I went through it, and I think I have to give her credit for saving our son's life. So, because I couldn't deal, I didn't know how to deal with it. She did.
It's a beautiful thing.
It is.
Yeah,
that's
most people don't
thing
because the tools that everyone's given in society, they're not given the proper tools. It's always put them in jail or you're going to 90-day rehab. 90 days, got to be 90 days. Why can't it be 92 days? You know, it's always that's what I'm trying to say is that it's the government. And if someone wants to use drugs and if they, you know, we should offer them the help that if they want it. If they don't want the help, then they should be allowed to go do their drugs, but not in it should be in a controlled environment, because they're doing that in many different countries, and it works.
Yeah, that
it's
works.
Successful.
Well, the controlled environment. The controlled environment would be the jail, wouldn't it, Gibson?
No, no. They
well,
go to
you're
clinic.
Not supposed to have
they go
drugs
to clinic.
In jail, but they're still able to get drugs.
Yeah.
Jail. But
so they're locked in a clinic?
Oh,
that's
they locked
they
in
get
a clinic?
Drugs
yeah.
in clinics, too.
No, the point is we need to decriminalize drugs. Drugs need to be seen
yes.
as somebody has a disease, when it is with
yep,
their disease.
Exactly.
And figure out a way
to it as a disease. I don't view it as a disease. I view it as a choice. You chose that person.
Well, a lot of people disagree with you,
oh,
and those people
it's a
are
mental.
I know they do.
It's
right.
a mental
I know
disorder.
They do. I know I'm a smoker. I'm addicted to smoking. It was my choice to pick up my first cigarette. Okay,
wait
that
minute,
was
wait,
my
wait,
choice.
Wait a minute, Gene. I'm all for all of us having autonomy and sovereignty over our bodies. But if you think you picked up a cigarette and it was your first and it was your choice, ma'am, you know how many Camel ads you've seen as a child? Do you know how many Marlboro ads?
Do you know how old I
like,
was when I picked up my first cigarette?
Didn't have no TV.
They're really good at it.
Gene didn't
right.
have no TV.
Yeah, back
okay.
back then they were like, "Hey, your doctor says Lucky Strikes are the best cigarette." You know.
Right. I remember those.
Hey, the case, the
okay, no, wait
Don
a minute.
Draper
now.
might be you know just TV.
I would like
but
to
there was
finish,
real
let
Don
me finish
Drapers
my
in
point.
The world. Oh, go ahead. Sis.
Can I finish my point? Please.
Well, I guess.
You make a choice to choose to do it the first time.
That's
okay? Whether it be from peer pressure, whether it be from, you know, you're curious, whatever. You choose to do it the first time.
But they
okay?
don't understand.
Why do we frown upon that? Why do we frown upon
and
that?
Listen, I understand how you can become addicted to it, okay? I'm not saying you can't. But the chemicals in these drugs, they change and alter the mental capabilities of these people.
And that's why it's a mental disease.
Who
you know
they,
why it
but,
does that? Because the
were,
formulated opinion of society
you know
molds
stop,
people to think that
stop
way.
Stop interrupting me. Stop interrupting me.
Oh, hold on. Everybody chill out. We're not going to agree to for everything. We just know it's a terrible disease. And kids don't realize when they do the first. Like my son was a football player, and he's got a bad back. And we didn't know how bad at the time. But he was taking pain pills and playing ball, and he never stopped. And it just got worse and worse. And Now he's head of a department for a big construction firm out of Detroit, and he's down in Tennessee working on a Ford plant over safety. So, yeah, he changed his life around. Very good.
But he did have to finally make a choice to say, I don't want to live this life anymore. I do agree in the sense that when they are on these, especially the fentanyl, the meth, the, oh, gosh, I can't even think of all the names now off the top of my head. When they are on those, they change.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it
changes. That changes their mental capabilities, their thought processes, their ability to choose, okay? I agree with that. And I literally watched my daughter go from a very highly intelligent young lady with an extremely bright future with a full scholarship. I'm talking books and tuition. It's done. Covered. Okay? To somebody that is homeless. And her life has been reduced to like 8 bins in my garage and a suitcase that she has. That's it. Because she cannot mentally make the proper choices because of what the drugs have done to her brain. Okay, in that sense, I see the disease. So, but initially, it's a choice. It's a choice you make to decide to do it. But you also have to make a choice if you want to stop that lifestyle. And until they make that choice themselves, anything a counselor says, anything anybody says to them,
right?
It's like throwing your pearls before swine.
Well,
it doesn't.
It's your point. I've seen it. Then the grip that addiction can hold on people. Like, I think we all get that. I think the point is though that when we're talking about this stuff, even if you did make that initial bad choice, should that be a life sentence of you being stuck to, you know, connected to this drug and that controlling your life? Of course, you don't want that for people. So how do we best solve this problem? There was a study years ago, this guy, Dr. Carl, what's his name? Well, he's on Joe Rogan. Just go to Joe Rogan show. You'll be able to find it. I'll tell the story quickly so Bianca can get in, because I guess I'm boring him. But the story was he had rats and he gave them cocaine, and the rats would use cocaine until the point of death within the study. And then he said, okay, let's introduce other things. So they introduced the sexual partner. They introduced the little exercise wheel, ways for the thing that be active. And then they found out the thing used cocaine as much as it wanted. It took interest in the sexual partner. It took interest in the exercise wheel. And they were able to eventually kind of lean them off of the cocaine. That's what
exactly.
They did with rats. And
that's because they gave the rats some methadone.
Well, go ahead, brother. No. This wasn't
I heard you say.
But I know
I heard you say Naj.
They gave another one crack. Oh, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I heard you say, Naj, that you for the legalization of street drugs, which I am too. That way people can have a choice.
No, decriminalization. Yeah, decriminalization.
Well,
decriminalization,
what do you think
exactly.
Legalization would be, man. Good gracious.
Well, no, I'm saying decriminalization because I think you should be cited and you should be recognized as, okay, you have this problem, and I think that should be something where they, okay, you got to go into this program or you have to do this.
Let me explain what I got to say, would you please? If you legalize street drugs and provide dispensaries where addicts who are sick can go to the dispensary and get their drug of choice, it would be safe because it would be tested. And then if they want to, they can sign up for further help.
Thank you. Yes.
And people want that. But let me ask you
something
else.
It would never work that way.
Why is it working in other countries?
It already works in some countries, Gene. Well, hang on for a second. Angola does, and it works well there. Well, let me say this. Mm-hmm. Why come you liberals are against school choice where parents can make a choice to put their child into the education environment they want to, and doing the fact that they poor, let the money follow the child? You're against that, you liberals.
I don't think anybody on this call is a liberal. So I don't know why you would say that, because I'm way past liberal, brother. I'm a liberal.
I don't think. Are you for parents having a choice?
No, I'm not, because the record has shown that it's a terrible place. They did it in Michigan, they did it in Missouri, and they have two of the worst education systems in the world, with majority
no,
of the
wait,
private schools. It didn't work. It didn't
what
work.
You're saying it don't work. But you're saying it don't work. It's the parents' choice.
It don't work. What they had was more
it does work.
Schools
in many
and
cases,
children
it works.
Not being able to access the private schools because they weren't on public transportation lines, and they had to cut the public lines because the kids now are in the private schools.
That's no
Michigan
excuse.
And Missouri, y'all can look this up. What Bianchi is saying is wrong. Look it up.
That is no excuse for a parent to decide where they want to put their child.
Never
it's their
that.
Choice because what they're doing where they are forced to put their children and their children are forced to stay there, we know that don't work.
Betsy DeVos and her family run Michigan. They were able to get school choice passed in Michigan, and they tried it for 15 years. The results were disastrous.
We saw school choice in our area, but
Yeah, you live in Missouri too.
I'm in Michigan. I'm in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
I am in Michigan. We still have school choice in our area.
I know. Go to Detroit Free Press story on Betsy DeVos. You get all the information.
But here's the problem. You know what? You mentioned Betsy DeVos, and I want to puke. Anybody that lives in Michigan knows the DeVos family and knows that they are corrupt. Okay? We
yeah.
just know that. Okay?
Amway.
You're not telling me anything I don't know.
That's
but here's the deal.
Right.
Here's the real problem. Yes, there should be school of choice. Yes, the money should follow the child. But it also should follow the child if the parent chooses to homeschool their child.
Absolutely.
If a parent chooses to homeschool their child, they get nothing. There's 9,000, I think in Michigan right now we're at 9,800 or 9,080, something like that, per student, supposedly. But that's not how it works.
So now
how
y'all want to do a private enterprise
now,
and y'all want government money. Y'all want government money.
It can be another public organ.
That's not true.
You're trying to bamboozle people. They can go to another public school district.
No, I gave them where they can find the information.
They can go to another public school. You know, you guys let Nod come on here and throw all these rumors out there. Nod,
you
do
all the crying you want.
You don't know
who don't know what they're listening to.
Wait a minute, guys.
Wow.
I got to make an announcement. We got 2 minutes and 55 seconds. Somebody from Twitter said they cannot find our show. This is not the first time we've been ghosted.
I'm going to hang up and call back in so I can get reset.
No, don't. Oh, you got to do that. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know what to do if we're ghosted. I have no idea what to do about it. This is not the first time. But thank you for calling in and letting me know. And
by the way, hello, people, and hello.
Hello.
Hey, Joe. It's Jaway. Jaway.
Oh, okay. You started it.
Joe's the problem.
I'm going to end it there, Laurie.
Joe's the problem.
Now, let me address you, Nod, on this thing about private school. Let me finish this.
To finish the point I was making earlier, I thought
thing.
You hung
Here's
up. How you come back that fast? Let the phone rest a minute. Your phone hot.
Because I don't have no cranked damn phone, that's why.
Let me
run this down to you. You're making it sound like that parents can only choose private schools. That's not true.
Uh-huh.
They may choose an adjacent public school district where they can't send these kids because they didn't pay taxes in their district. So you put out these half-truths and sometimes no truth, and that's just terrible of you, man.
Okay, so the public schools lost students because a lot of them went to those private schools you were endorsing a minute ago. And what happened was you had a collapse of the Detroit educational system in Michigan because of the idea of school choice. It doesn't work. We've got
three examples. No.
New York, Missouri, and Michigan. It doesn't work.
Wait a minute.
Pionke ain't got a response.
Wait, now be quiet, everybody. Lorianne, tell us about your show real quick. You got 39 seconds. Make it quick. I got to get to Joseph Gibson's show with Big Joe. Go ahead.
All right.
Lorianne.
Tune in. Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. It'll be a great show. Hope to see you all there.
There you go. And Joseph Gibson, please.
All right. Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, restoring our republic, trying to find real solutions instead of all this talk that's getting us nowhere. Real solutions to solve the problems in our world today.
Very good.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
The point I was trying to finish,
hold on for a minute. On Detroit and their school system, they were being ripped off by millions of dollars in the school system. They were stealing all the computers. they found I don't know how many one of the school board members' house, and they were just stealing blindly. Everybody was blind to the fact that some of these schools didn't even have computers because, you know, all of a sudden, I don't know, thousands were missing because you could go to eBay and buy you one, though.
Right.
So, it's not just the private schools. I don't even know what you're talking about when it's the private schools.
The school system was going downhill way before the 60s.
Yep.
Yeah.
But even in Flint schools are going down. Flint schools get more per pupil than the surrounding areas. Okay? Surrounding areas do not, but they're better. The surrounding areas are a better school system. You have a superintendent in Flint making a crap ton of money instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to lower my salary so I can better my students' education. They don't do that. Okay? And the school of choice is not just going to private schools. It's like Bianchi said, a lot of the school of choice that happens in our area is going like from Flint to Flushing or Swartz Creek or the public schools, not private, the public.
Right. That's
yeah,
true.
A couple of the girls at school where I work with, they don't go to the Flint schools. They go Flushing and Swartz Creek. Are the two because they're the closest.
And Flushing is Flushing. Who's creaking Flushing is to make the school system, by the way.
Your argument regarding going to private schools is an ultimate failure.
Let me tell you some models. In New York, they got a basketball school choice. Kids go to school, do their regular studies, half the day, the other half of the day, they practice basketball. In Florida, they got several schools designed around baseball. Someplace out in the Upper West, they have emergency medical service where the students go to learn how to become paramedics and things that's related to emergency medical services. So, and also aviation. You got an aviation school choice school here in Louisiana called Helix. And, of course, Bessie DeVore's husband started an aviation school choice operation there where they are in Michigan. It does work.
Well, here in Genesee County, we have what's called GISD, Genesee Intermediate School District. And younger kids, not just high schoolers, but there are alternative education for younger kids as well. And there's smaller classrooms. They're more geared for, you know, like what you were saying, specific courses kind of thing.
Yeah, when I was a kid, it was for high school, and they build a house every semester, and you could take
car mechanics.
In our school alone, we had a great auto mechanics class. It was great, and they would do tune-ups and different repairs on teachers' cars. It was really top-notch. It looked like a dealership.
They still have that program just for high schoolers, too, for their junior and senior year.
Right.
But they also have programs for under that, or grades under that, that are more, and there's still the basic education, you know, math, writing, arithmetic, history, that parents can choose to send their kids to in our area. And it's still technically a public school. So saying that the school of choice just means private school, no. But if you're going to do school of choice and have the money follow the student, it should include homeschooling as well. Because it's not cheap to homeschool. The curriculum is not cheap.
No.
And have them test, because you still have to pay for them to be tested to ensure that they've gotten all the requirements by the state. That they pass that testing. So, yeah.
Well, you're absolutely right, Gene. But, you know, when you can really open your eyes, when you look at the institutions and organizations that's against school choice, the NAACP, the Urban League, the National Education Association and the American Federation of Teachers. And it goes on and on and on. They are against parents having the right, using the fundamental right, to put their child where they think is best for their child's educational long-term goal.
July 24th. July 24th.
Well, you also have to ask the question, why do the parents want to pull them from certain schools? Why do they feel that they're not getting the education?
Blah, blah.
You know, they need to address the teachers and the the qualifications of the teachers and the quality of the teaching, as opposed to being all against, school choice.
Some of it's not just the teacher. Some of it's just the attitude of that particular society that's going to that school. You know, you're in that neighborhood and you've got the kids that are, not latchkey kids,
parents,
but they're kids
parents
that have no parent. Yeah, parents.
Cinnamon, in those same neighborhoods, like the documentary that was done by 60 Minutes called A National Disgrace is still on YouTube about the Detroit public school system. You got parents that are poor, marginal, but they work like hell to prepare their child. And when their child goes to school, knowing the things that you would expect the child to know when they come to school, like their name, their father's name, the difference between an orange and an apple and a banana, then they're sitting up in a classroom with children that did not go through those rigors at the house. So why would you hold that child back?
No, I understand. I understand that. I mean, besides elevating the school in the community, they have to elevate the community a bit. They have to get the people to decide
government
that your kid's education is the best way for your kid to get out of your life and out of your lifestyle.
You're absolutely right. And when a teacher would say, well, if you take your kid out the classroom, our overall score is going to drop.
Well, and
it goes back to also the parents need to parent. And the parents need to, specifically the parents that want to pull their kids from a school because of situations like that, is because they care. And they care where their child is going and what their child is going to do.
Well, this is something everybody should care about, because on July 24th, finally, after fighting and fighting and fighting, I'm challenging the state of North Carolina and their authority to license people in certain professions around the state. So if I win that case, that will be case precedent in my state, and other states can use it. So, for instance, they're intrusive. I'm challenging the abuse and discretion of their authority of licensing boards in the state government, okay? One example is, we talk about it many times, Bianca, on my show, the power of the government to license certain things that we like to do, or, for instance, a profession that we may want to choose that does not require special types of training. They just license it because it's a money racket. So I'm challenging that. It's finally, after all this time, they shot me down several times, but finally I got my hearing set. I finally got a judge to sign off on it. So if I win, the state of North Carolina will not be able to license many, many things that we do here in this state. So they'll be out of our lives, the government.
Well, that'd be great.
That would be a good thing.
Yes.
And so then also going back to the kids, the schools, it's like the schools are tolerating these poor behaved children because they see a dollar sign in their seat. And they don't care, what the kids do as long as they're getting the money. And the parents need to start stepping up in those school systems. And the parents in the school system need to step up and say, we don't want those kids around my kids. Those are going to be troublemakers. How many videos have you sent, Bianchi, of students attacking teachers, literally physically attacking teachers?
And teachers can't intervene either.
Yeah.
Because
when we were in school, you didn't dare even raise your voice to your teacher, let alone think about attacking them.
What you're talking about is called in Missouri the ADA. It's the average daily attendance. That means that every day at 11:30, they count the students that's sitting in desks in each room, total up for that building. And that's what that building receives from the state in dollars, depending on how many students.
Now, in Flint, first day of school, they would give prizes out. First day of school, please
Detroit
be here.
Detroit also.
That's the first, well, I'm just talking Flint. That's the first payment day. You know, I call it a payment day. And then after the quarter, they do it again. They offer PlayStations and all kinds of drawings. And then at one school district, they offered them money.
Yeah, in St. Louis, they was raffling off a giant screen TV set. St. Louis public school.
Part of this is also some of these kids are not going to school because they don't want to get bullied. Some of these kids are showing up in school just because they can either sell the drugs, they can get there and get food, and they don't have to worry about anybody telling them what to do in the inner city schools. And there's some kids that don't go to school because they go and work a damn job because they're trying to help out mom. So there's many reasons why these inner city schools are failing, and throwing money at it is not going to fix it. We've got to figure it out and put the pride of the education back into that community. And then that way, when a kid's acting a fool in school and he loses out on school, it's going to be a shame thing. It's not a high five from the gang.
Oh, kids' heroes today. Role models. Who are your kids' role models today? Basketball player, LeBron James. I mean, you know, look at your role models and who these kids look up to. They're nothing.
Yeah, but LeBron James can turn around and go, yeah, my kid just graduated from high school and he just got recruited full scholarship at this college. Why the hell aren't you doing that?
Well, they shouldn't be role models. They shouldn't be role models anyway. Throwing money at anything from the government corrupts everything that the money is thrown at. Because the purpose of the government is to corrupt it.
Yeah,
because
you're
going to
have the bad actors there.
That's right.
You put that lure of money there, you're going to have a bunch of people fall.
That's it.
But it's not even just the actual people. Okay, I mean, I saw a post that said, oh, yay, Pepe Le Pew got canceled. Now my kid can go play Grand Theft Auto and shoot hookers. I mean,
it
come
is
on.
The people, Jane. It is the people. It's always the people. It doesn't what matter
I'm
if it's
is,
the people.
It's the video games even that these kids are playing.
Yeah, but who designs the games? The people.
I understand that. But parents allowing their children to play these games. Okay? And because Pepe Le Pew got canceled, now my kid can go play Grand Theft Auto and shoot hookers. I mean, come on.
Yes, there are influences that do that, but it's the people overall that allow it. And it's very easy for people to become corrupt, just like George Carlin said. Where are all the good people to counter the corrupt politicians? How come they're not jumping in there to do what the people want done? Because the politicians and corrupt people in government and in business, they come from the same neighborhood that everybody else here comes from.
Yep. I agree.
Well, that's true what he's saying. If you look in the St. Louis area, two of the most highest performing school districts, that being Clayton, Missouri, and Ladue, they fund their school 97% from the local community. They don't receive hardly nothing from
the
federal government, nothing from the state.
And the race towards all these nice things is getting worse and worse because we have more and more nice things in society, more laptops, more iPhones. Everyone wants materialism. You know, it's me, my PC, personal computer, iPhone, I. Everything is about me. You know, and why can't everybody just have everything that they – I mean, I'm not trying to say we should live in heaven here, but why does it have to be this chase for this stuff? Why does everyone have to chase for this American greed that we
keeping
have?
Keeping up with the Joneses. Keeping up with the Joneses, what we used to call it.
I have to say one of the things that I noticed where I work, Because I work with a lot of girls that are on the poorer end, because most of them are single mothers, and they're in the Flint area, and most of them have got iPhones.
Okay.
Because I have trouble. My boss has an iPhone, and we have, like, group messages, text messages that go out, and sometimes I miss the stuff because me and one other person that I work with miss some of the stuff because it doesn't translate from the iPhone into the Android phones exactly. And they'll start giggling at me. And I'm like, look, and I'm going, oh, okay, why don't you go to a better, you're moving your kid to a different school district. You can't work the hours because you got to drive your kid there because there's not busing there.
Yeah.
But you can afford to get the iPhone. Why don't you use that money to rent the house over in that area?
Not only the materialism.
My kid has nothing to do after school is done.
Yeah, when they should. The thing is, that it's not just materialism. It's also stupidity as well. People are not emotionally balanced in general. They get out of childhood and start being 11 and 12 years old, and then teenagers and wanting to be acting like teenagers, and then wanting to act like adults. So materialism is actually a symptom of me, myself, and I. It's selfishness. Yep. Selfishness yep. plus yes. stupidity equals the human race in all endeavors. Even the good people who try to do something well, as you know, when people try to get together, there's always ego. It's always people are just that way.
Yeah, I'm better than you because I've got this.
Yeah,
yeah,
or I'm
my landscaping
you,
business. No. You know, I want my yard to look just like my neighbor's. I'm what? I want my grass to look like his. Why? You know, it's ego thing.
Yeah, it's always ego. It's always human nature, and that's why I always bring up the same analogy all the time. If you take any group of people from any tribe, nation, et cetera, and they can believe in any religion they want, and then project ourselves 100 years from now, and they go to a planet, and they find $1 trillion worth of minerals on that planet. I don't care if it's Buddhist priests, okay? If they see $1 trillion worth of minerals on that planet, which they can bring back to Earth and become trillionaires, and the inhabitants of that planet are very, very peaceful, like Avatar, how long do you think it will be before those inhabitants of that planet are wiped out and the people on that spaceship from Earth, no matter what country, what tribe, or wherever they come from, are going to steal those rare Earths and bring them back to Earth for the $1 trillion?
So how do we stop it, Joe?
How do we stop it?
Yeah.
Chemistry. We have to change the DNA. If we don't change the DNA, we're not stopping it. We're born with whatever we're born with.
Changing mindset.
Okay. Yeah. But that hasn't been sure. It can. Propaganda works. I mean, propaganda does change the mindset of people to follow the people who are leading with that
propaganda.
Why would
you call it propaganda? Why would you call it propaganda?
I'm talking about the propaganda that is influencing people to be in the matrix.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, propaganda is nothing but information. But people should champion their state legislature in particular for school choice and for full vouchers, not just $200, but full vouchers to follow the child.
Well, I don't know about the school choice. I haven't looked into it that well. But I was asked a question about how do we fix it. And if we had very good people who were parsing out information the same way the propaganda was being parsed out here, then we could change the mindset. We used to have, years and years ago, 40, 50, 60 years ago, we used to have a better set of people, but it was caused by stigma. If a woman got pregnant, she was stigmatized as being a whore, things like that. Maybe we should bring back stigmas as a
social conscience.
Morals.
Yeah.
Morals.
Well,
it wasn't necessarily morals. It was social conscience. You got shamed if you got kicked out of school for a week.
Even divorce. If you got a divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in the Catholic religion. If you got divorced, you were ostracized. Not only that, you were officially kicked out of the Catholic Church. So
it's okay.
Yeah. But if you're talking about morals, morals all over the place. You've got churches, synagogues, mosques, every kind of institution praising God, all about morals. And we're still in the shape we're in now. So morals has to be taught right. Otherwise, morals is no good.
And the same thing with your child. If your child gets them to the point where they just think it's just deplorable, to the point where they would go missing and bring home a C on their report cards.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, that
even taught that we're supposed to accept everything. The society has become, you are to accept anything and everything that goes on.
Well,
and you know how it's got that way? Through the government and PC and enforcing it through human resources, for example, with PC inside the workplace. You can't compliment a woman on her shoes. Otherwise, it's sexual harassment. And the women embrace that. You know? Why aren't the women saying, I don't mind being complimented on my shoes? But no, they run to human resources because they don't like the guy. He insulted me by complimenting me. Are you crazy?
Right.
I like making young men blush.
Never mind.
I like making young men blush. I went to a store yesterday. This young man was probably in his mid-20s. Opened the door for me, and I looked at him and I said, thank you, your mama raised you right. And he goes, I will tell her. When it happens, like for women like me, if somebody compliments me or opens the door for me that doesn't even know me or helps me load something in my vehicle, whatever, we need to acknowledge that and really, you know,
boost it up. That's true. But at the same time, the door was being opened for you in an outdoors field in a store. If you were inside the a job inside the office, and if you didn't like the guy, if the guy complimented you on your shoes and you said, I got a way to get back at this bastard, you'd be running to human resources.
That's right.
I would
pretty much open the door for a lady.
That's not my personality. But I can understand what you're saying. There are women that do that.
Hold on a minute. Go ahead. I think Pianchi was talking, I think.
I said I held the door open for a lady that had her hands full with what she had bought. And she said, thank you very much.
Well,
John helped somebody at the grocery store once, and she yelled at him.
Yeah.
Right. I was about to say that. Yeah, I mean, I never encountered or even seen that. People have been saying that. The women that have, you know, other people have said, the women I've opened the doors for, they say, who are you opening up the door for? I can do it myself. I like to see that woman. Because they go, they walk right on through, and they don't even say thank you, you know, and then they wait for you. Sometimes they wait for you to open the door for them.
I do my best to acknowledge them and say thank you. And if it's a, you know, a more my age person, I'll look at them and say, thank you for letting me know that chivalry is not dead. You know?
Well, here in North Carolina, that's a big thing. But the people are still very polite down here. They hold the door for you. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. It's still, but you go up to Connecticut or New York City, that's disgusting, rude, arrogant. I mean, you know?
Oh, man. I'm on these communication boards. I joined a bunch of one of the big things is because there's a mass exodus of some of these northern states going down to the south. Their biggest thing is, why is everybody saying hi to me? And people think I'm rude because I don't say hi back.
No, you ain't from around here.
You know what's really funny about that, Cinnamon? If you go to the west side of Michigan, that's exactly how it is. People strike up conversations all the time. Hello, wave at you, whatever. We move to the east side of Michigan, and I'm like, I'm just being me and striking up conversations, and my kids are, you know, when they're in school, you know, high or like middle school, Mom, you can't do that. Mom, you can't do that. Why can't I do that? That's not what's done here. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not changing who I am because, living in a different area.
And everybody around me thinks I'm weird because I still strike up conversations or I smile and say hi to everybody.
When I used to walk places with my grandfather, if I didn't say hello to somebody we approached on the sidewalk, my grandfather would knock me clean across the street.
Yeah. You know, and
now if you did that, you'd get arrested. Child abuse.
I'm saying it's more prominent on the west side of the state. This is just one state and two totally different cultures in a way.
When my aunt passed away in Alabama, we were going to from Athens to it was in Ardmore, Tennessee, or Ardmore, Alabama, rather. And people were getting off their tractors, taking their hat off till we passed.
Aww.
I thought that was amazing.
We do it every day, don't we, Donnie? We do it every day down here. That's
just
the way it is.
Funeral, in a funeral, they pull over down here.
Oh, okay.
If you're late for work, it don't make a damn. You pull over and take your hat off. That's the way it is.
Yep.
I remember that when I was a kid, going to
that's amazing.
I think it was like a great aunt or it's got to be a great aunt because I didn't know my great grandparents. Anyway, and I remember being a kid and people were driving off the side of the road, and I think it was up in Birch Run, and people were pulling off the side of the road, and I was used to that, you know, because you're letting it's a 2-lane highway, you're letting the funeral procession go through, you don't stop.
Yeah.
Well,
but people were like but people were getting out of their car and like bowing their head or something. I'm like, what are they doing?
Yeah, I haven't.
And my
seen
dad
that
told me that's just respect.
I've read and seen the news that a lot of funeral processions got hit going through the red light. You know, they got the red light. Oh, yeah, get plowed into. Yeah.
You know, sorry, Dan.
I don't think kids know that. I don't think the kids know
because
that.
Because you're not teaching your kids. You got to teach them. You know, I can recount at least three times that, and you know, how I'm practically raising my grandson. When we went into restaurants and there'd be a wallet lay on the floor. We picked the wallet up. I said, let's find out who it belongs to, Quinn. We go through the wallet, push the credit cards aside the money until we call the person, they come get their wallet, or one time I turn it into the manager. But their child got to see those things. And then they just take it upon themselves.
You're right.
Yeah. That's why I always blame the parents. If the parents aren't going to teach the child, don't rely on the school system, because the school system is designed to bring your child down to the state of savagery.
Joe,
but even when you are a kid,
you take that wallet,
children,
take out and go have a party, you know we would do that. Come on.
I didn't hear you, Donnie, because for one
I'm
thing
sorry.
My app, and the other thing was Gene.
Okay. I just said we found a wallet. We just look around, make sure nobody sees us, and take the money out. We'd leave the wallet.
Oh, boy.
Oh, come on. No, I'm kidding.
I know you're teasing. I know you're teasing.
I was kind of commenting on what you said, Joe. It's like, even though as a parent, we are teaching them, and when your kids are in these schools for more hours than they are at home, and you don't know fully what they're being taught at school. You hope you do, but you don't. And I mean, I got... Like I said, four
more.
Kids. Three of them, you know, great. But one of them, they were all raised with the same morals, values, teachings. And one kind of went with that liberal mindset of you owe me and it's not my fault and et cetera. And now she's living the consequences of those choices that she has made, but still tries to blame others for her choices. So, you can as a parent be involved, but the parents do need to be involved. They just do. You're right. They 100% do. They don't either drop them off to school, pick them up after school, feed them dinner, and throw them in bed. You know, it's more parenting than that.
That's the point I'm getting to, is that the parents have to be good parents. I mean, there are times when the parents are around the child all day long, but they're not good parents. They create fear in the child. You know, they have to show the child love, and they have to show the child discipline. They have to let the child know, I am not your best friend.
Joe,
I am your daddy and your mama.
Right.
Joe, what about the story that you used to hear about the mother or in the father who had 9 children and 8 of them grew up to be lawyers and 1 ended up in prison for the rest of his life? How does that happen, you know?
That's my question right there, to be honest. I could ask. I wish I knew the answer. I wouldn't have a daughter that's living the lifestyle in which she's living if that was the case.
Well, the parents don't always devote the same amount of attention and the same kind of attention to each child because of time restrictions. I mean, if you have 8 kids, you're busy with numbers 1, 2, and 3, and by the time 4, 5, and 6 come along, you know, you're not teaching them the same way you taught 1 and 2 and 3 because 1, 2, and 3 still need your attention and I can't devote to 3, 4, and 5. But at the same time, when you do have time with the children, my particular belief is that if you have the child, if we can raise crocodiles and polar bears, literally, to be safe with us so that we can swim with them in the pools, right? If we can train animals, why can't we mold our children when they're young?
I don't know.
There's the mystery of the brain, though, because you've got devout religious families that are just perfect pillars of the community and not the behind closed doors drinking and smoking kind of crap.
That's right.
The ones that go out and turn around and do for their community and teach their and always taught their kid to do that and took their kid with them and then the kid turns into a serial killer. You still got there's still mysteries of the brain that some switch gets flicked.
I understand
what you were saying about spending time with each child, okay? And being a stay-at-home mom, I get what you're saying. It's like, today this child needs more attention. Today this child needs more attention. And trying to make that balance is not easy. But the counter to that is my daughter that's living the way she is now and that I'm scared to death of getting the call, but she is a twin. So, to be honest, I think my twins had to have more attention than my older two. Because there were 2 of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with things that she decided.
Her sister didn't turn out that way. Only she did. So it's not something that you did.
That is correct. I'm not saying it was. I was trying to say what he was talking about, spending time with the kids and, you know,
and the way,
more, you're focused
and
more.
And not just the more time, the way that it's done, too. I'm glad you mentioned twins because you can separate twins at birth. And you can put 1 twin in Mongolia and 1 twin in Michigan. And if they meet up later on in adult life, they are going to have so much psychological similarities and behavioral similarities. It would be almost as though they weren't separated. They would speak different languages.
Right.
They would exhibit the cultures, but their personal beliefs and their personal behavior patterns are practically the same. So I'm glad you mentioned the twins. If one daughter is an addict and the other daughter isn't, I don't know if it's just a matter of a brain switch, or it could be purely because of a brain switch. Because the DNA might have been slightly different in the twins. But I would think
they're fraternal twins. They are fraternal twins.
Oh,
they're
okay.
Not identical,
then
they're fraternal.
Then it's different. Then it's different.
And,
the one
that's doing what she's doing, she was always the one to do it first. Always the one to do it first. And
my two sisters, one must have fell on her head when she was a baby or something. I had 2 twin sisters, and one came out fine, and the other one came out a wacky, batty reject. And I told my mother, you must have dropped her or something. I don't know.
Were they fraternal twins or identical twins? Identical twins are the same.
Your mama dropped her.
Oh, fraternal twins? You can have fraternal twins. You can have one as a pure Dr. Jekyll, and the other one's a pure Mr. Hyde. Different DNA.
Yep.
Same DNA, but completely different in important ways.
Wow.
Well, that's why you have so much brutality going on in each community, because the people, the young people there, don't have respect for authority. And where it starts is they don't have respect for authority at home. We know they don't have it at school. Then it plays out in society with the interaction with police and the other people who are supposed to be applying authority.
One thing we got to mention here, though, also is modern day, our bodies are flooded with chemicals. It's in the food we eat. It's in the air we breathe and the water we drink. Besides just being absorbed, you know, accidentally by touch. I mean, that's going to change.
Well, it's in the laundry detergent. It's in your laundry detergent. It's
well, that's
everything.
What I mean. It's everything. It's, so we're, you know, we don't know if some of this is not down to just chemical also that changed our habits to coming towards this whole me thing. But there is a book that I read, I think senior year in high school, and I can't remember. It was called The Human Zoo, and it was a psychological study on how you pack too many people into something. Yeah, and that was a really good. That was one of the good eye openers for me to like look around and start seeing people different.
It also comes to society saying you're owed this, you're owed that.
I know, but that's like the chicken. It's the chicken and the egg. Which one did we do first? Is it because
I think part of
the chemicals
came,
started
even like
telling
in the 80s?
Somebody? I know, but was it the chemicals that were starting to be in our stuff in the 70s? The 60s and the 70s is when it started ramping up. 70s was big time ramping up. Was it the chemicals there, and it changed people to say, hey, no, these people deserve this, and we're gonna teach them to do this. And,
you had a higher divorce rate in the 60s and 70s, okay? So there were struggling moms, right? And and then you get the 80s kids, you know, and the 80s were good. And then, you know, they're starting to get married and have kids, and they're vowing, my kid is going to have more than if my kid wants it, they're going to have it. And then parents are being told, you need to be a friend to your child. You just need to be good friends with your child, not a parent. You need to be their friend.
Well, that's because the kid that grew up in the 80s, that's when the moms, that's even if your family was still intact, mom and dad both worked. That was the first latchkey kid group. We were all, you know, by ourselves. We'd go home and be by ourselves. And so we got to be
I was 70s kid, so. But what I'm getting at is it was a guilt that was laid onto the parents of, well, you didn't have that. Your child deserved that, don't they? It was a psychological thing.
Every generation kind of does that. They grow up and go, okay, this is what I thought my parents did wrong. I'm going to make sure my kid has that better than whatever thing that they felt they were lacking. And that's how parenting kind of steamrolls down the line. I mean, at some point it's going to get so bad it's going to turn back around, and they're going to be back on top and helicopter mom and dad.
That whole idea was misconstrued. When you want your children to have it better than you, it shouldn't be material items. It should be education, for instance. I want my child to get a better education, go higher in college and further than I did, not get an iPhone.
But Gene and I were just talking about this one generation says you've got to be friends with your kids, not be a parent to your kid. Well that's because they didn't have any interaction with their parents, because their parents were always working, trying to give them the material things that they didn't get when they were a kid. So it kind of goes on and on.
When I would pick up my kids from school, you know, it was just like I could see how the parents, I'm not saying we shouldn't be friends with our kids, please don't get me wrong, but they could not, they accepted poor behavior in the attempt to be their child's friend. That makes sense. We would be at games or whatever, and I would watch parents, I mean young kids, and they would excuse, oh, they're just a little boy, or they're just a little girl, or, you know, instead of correcting the behavior that was disruptive to the majority of the people, you know.
Well,
they would
my two sons, they're my putt buddies, my two sons, so they can do no wrong. That's just how I am with them.
And then some of these neighborhoods and societies that you live in,
If you want to take your kids out in the front yard to watch the stars, you got to have your damn guns with you.
Yep. So, I mean, it's just a matter. There was the balance. I guess what I'm saying is the balance is gone. You know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't, you know, have that open relationship and open communication with our kids and to a friend point. But in the same token, you still, there's times you need to step back and actually be a parent and teach them and discipline them and correct them because you love them. Not because you want to be mean, but because you love them. And you might teach them to be a better person in society than, you know, somebody that just thinks that they are owed stuff because they live and breathe.
Well, you know, the best example I've seen in a long time was, remember the riots in Baltimore? This black
yeah.
mother was watching it on TV and seeing her son. She went downtown
oh, yeah.
to that riot and got her son and damn near whooped his butt right there on the street. And
oh,
he
yeah.
did
yeah.
that.
Oh,
yes.
I
he did
her.
Not resist. So that there tells you that it's a lot of functionality going on in that household, even if it's a single female ran household.
Yep, she actually ran for either representative or senate in Illinois.
You know, they do a follow-up story.
I do have to say the kids that the kids of my coworkers, because every once in a while, babysitting will fall through. And the kid comes to work with them. And even like the youngest one is, she just turned 6. The first thing she wants to do is help. So she's following you around and she'll ask you, what can I do? And so like dinner, she's carrying plates for me. So you got to give her like little easy stuff. And then if she has to wait outside the room, she's okay with that. She's not throwing a fit. She's not mad if she has to sit down and wait for like an hour before, you know,
mm-hmm.
mom can talk to her or she can talk to somebody else. But they're all like that. They're all very much pay attention to the parent, very much pay attention to one of the other coworkers. Okay, I can go to her. Mom's not here. I can go ask her. She should be able to tell me if this is okay. They don't go up and get their own drinks. They mm-hmm. ask, can I?
Respecting authority.
Thursday, can you get me a drink?
Yeah, we're very respectful.
They're respecting authority.
Yeah,
yes.
wanting to help, wanting to learn something new, that kind of stuff.
That's good.
So you can tell they're involved parents.
When I was a kid,
that's an awesome thing.
We had things to do. We had teen club. We had two city pools. We had like I said, you could one night maybe on a or be on a Friday we. Go to the school and roller skate or play bumper pool, which I've never seen another one before since then. And but we had things to do. And in elementary, we could go to our school and watch a movie. It would be one of those old, you know, Boris Karloff movies and things. But it, you know, you get in for a dime, popcorn was a nickel, and sit there and watch the movie.
Or you could ride your bike with your friends and come home when the streetlights were on.
Yeah, but...
You go hang out, play kickball in the street.
Yeah.
You could, you know, but those streetlights came on, you better be home.
Yeah, that's true. I can't argue
but
with...
But you got more people that are more me, and they see a spare kid, and they're either going to get the parent in trouble, or they're going to do... You know, there's too many evil people out there that's just gonna, you know, lure the kid into doing something stupid.
And also, parents.
And I'm not even talking like sexual abuse or anything like that. They're gonna be the one that talks the kid into go, hey, I'll take you to the store. I'll buy you this candy. You put this on your shirt, and we'll walk out front.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, even if you're 15 houses down from the house you live in, if you screw up. That parent would take care of you. I don't mean beat you.
Oh, yeah.
I'll scold you or call your mom because your dad's working, but mom was always home.
or both.
But Donnie,
there was times
I
got scolded by my neighbor
rental.
And then my mom found out. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, okay. Go ahead, Kiyaki.
I see. I was afraid of my grandfather. I remember one time I must have been about 12. He came in the bedroom and grabbed me by both ankles and helped me up, and whooped my butt with his belt.
Oh yeah.
So I was afraid of hell of him.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Hey Bianchi. That lady's name is Peggy Hubbard. The lady's name is Peggy Hubbard. That chased her kid. That was acting stupid.
You didn't, yeah.
And I got, her name was Peggy Hubbard.
Very impressive. I remember that, and I go, good Lord, that's a
parent. Oh, yeah, that was a good sight right there.
Damn right it was. I felt sorry for that kid, though, because when he gets back, the next day he goes to school. Oh, my. The kids are going to be rootless. I seen you on TV, and your mom beat your ass, which is very good. Good mom. Good mom. Yep.
Well, she wasn't really beating his ass. She was just slapping him, making him move. Each time he kept slowing down, she slapped him again, got him moving. You saw that look on his face when she came up behind him.
Oh, yeah. You could tell that kid
hit
his mother. I'll tell you that. That was very cool. Very nice to see. And it's too bad other parents couldn't have done that. I remember that day. They were throwing rocks and everything else. Terrible.
Yeah,
day.
Because a whole pallet of that wasn't when the pallet of bricks showed up. But
no.
All of a sudden there was a pile of construction rocks there.
The bricks, I believe, was in L.A. They showed up on a street corner on a pallet.
Where's our George Soros? Where's our George Soros at? You know?
Yeah.
That funds our operation.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah. That's true. And, you know, us taxpayers, he gets some of our money, too, to run these damn organizations.
Yeah.
And
90
like,
prosecutors he got elected. 90 prosecutors across the country.
Oh, Lord. And look what they did to San Francisco. Or they impeached and got rid of the guy, but I think the guy or woman, I don't know, is running it now, is doing a poor job also.
Oh, yeah, I call him on my podcast show and I'm just rag into him all the time up there, you know, and they get snotty with me on the phone, tell him, what's up with the feces all on the street corners and everything? I said, you know, what's wrong with you, you know? Oh, yeah, they engage with me, you know, but they eventually hang up or they get mad or, you know, sir, you know, just stop calling, you know, they do one of those numbers, but I put him on the spot, call him live right on the podcast show.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
Put them on the spot. They blocked one cop's face. He didn't want to be recognized. And he said that the reason they're not doing their job is because they were pretty much threatened. And this is San Francisco. Pretty much threatened not to do anything. And then he said, if you do something, you might get suspended. And the guy or girl, lady or man, gets off, period. And he said in San Francisco, you don't hear about the fights in schools at all. They don't tell you about those. And I guess the schools are just as bad.
It's bad. It is bad. It is really bad up there. It really is. I mean, it's really, really bad, San Francisco. I'm just surprised that it hasn't gotten more national media attention, but a lot of other cities are real bad. Oakland's real bad. Oakland, California. I mean, Chicago, of course, you know well. I mean, you know, Atlanta, Georgia. Those many cities are really bad. I mean, you get caught in the wrong neighborhood, you're in trouble.
Yeah, that's right. That is right.
Absolutely.
And I think it's all by design. I think it's all by design.
Yep.
They're destroying our country from within. And that's got to stop. Now, Trump was in South Carolina today, and he did his speech, and Lindsey Graham got on stage, and I booed the hell out of him. I said, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Boo that damn rhino.
Yeah, he is.
Those same people will vote for him next election.
Yeah, That's the thing. Why, you know, that's the real thing is the change. Is, you know, people, they let these incumbents keep coming back, back for more. They love it. They love it. Keep bending over, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, get them out of there. Get them out of there.
That's right. Get them out of there. But, God, he promised to do this, and boom, they get 6 more years of nothing.
I know.
And vote for every war, every time they want to invade someplace. Lindsey Graham's right on the stage. McCain and I just remember John McCain and Graham together in foreign countries, you know, talking about we got to do this, we got to do that. And Lindsey Graham was in Ukraine saying, whatever it takes. He was in a meeting with Zelensky. Whatever it takes. And they're losing. And Trump, or not Trump, but Biden said yesterday that Ukraine is winning. Just winning. No,
they're
not.
They're not winning. The country is leveled. The country is leveled.
Yeah.
There's nothing left to it.
Yeah. It's gone.
But is the definition of insanity doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results?
We got a lot of insane voters, Gene.
I mean, with the Pelosi and Graham and, you know, I mean, like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree.
It's terrible. But at least McCain is out of there. That's a good thing. Did you hear his wife, Cindy, a few weeks ago in an interview talking about Epstein and she said, we all knew about it, but nobody would do anything. You know, we couldn't do anything about it. Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could have. You sure as hell could have. You could have brought that to the attention. John McCain could have got up on the Senate floor and said something.
Look at what's going on now with the Department of Justice and Hunter Biden failing to file charges before the statute of limitation expired. You know, this is a case, and the judge on this, I don't know how she's going to perform, but this is where I wish Judge Jean was there. I bet she'd do the thing in the way it's supposed to be done.
Well, I tell you, she was upset. You should have heard her. She was very upset about that. Very.
Well, what about Biden saying that he sold state secrets?
Yeah.
Are you trying to, in the CPM from India?
Yeah.
It's like, you what? But that's okay. You can do that. You can see that.
Oh, it's amazing. And
people are still buying back to it.
You know they're going to put the governor of California up there to run. Biden's not going to make it to the finish line. And
they're grooming him now. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And the biggest slap to Biden was when he was overseas. And the governor visited the White House, for God's sakes. I think he was measuring for drapes. He was getting ready. That was a slap in Biden's face. But, hey, that's okay. Pretty boy will be running. You know, he was married to Don Jr.'s girlfriend. And I think they got a kid together. I'm not sure. Not positive about that. So she knows a lot about this guy. and his wife was with, what's his name? Weinstein? Is that his name?
Epstein? Yeah, Epstein.
No, not Epstein.
Weinstein? Yeah, the Harvey?
Yeah, yeah.
Harvey.
The Hollywood pedo?
Yeah. He was, or she was with him. I guess she testified in L.A. against him. So, and we get a lot of perverts, and, you know, there's a lot of actors. Mel Gibson, they said, is coming out with a movie, could be a four-part deal, about what's happening in Hollywood and the perversion that's going on. Oh, well, somebody will knock him off. They're not going to allow that.
Oh, no doubt. I think there's, you know, I think that now is the time that, you know, all of the people that, you know, actors like Mel Gibson that Hollywood outed and shunned and ridiculed and everything that we're trying to expose what was really going on, I think they're starting to come back out of the woodwork now. And now, you know, people are finally willing to listen to them because things like, you know, Harvey Weinstein and all of these things have been coming out now. And so maybe they won't, you know, be found, you know, suicided in their shower or something.
because
it'll be too obvious.
The gentleman that worked for the Clintons, they found in Arkansas hanging with a gunshot wound. They said it was, he was hanging and shot in the chest. And they said, well, it was suicide. I said, oh, really? Oh, no.
Yeah, and wasn't it the gun found, like, something like 20 feet away? It's like, yeah, that's possible.
I think they said it was a self-inflicted wound.
Yeah.
Is what they called it.
Yeah.
Self-inflicted.
And
how many people commit suicide using two different methods? I'm going to hang myself, and while I'm hanging, I'm going to shoot myself in the chest and then somehow manage to throw the gun 20 feet away. Yeah, that's totally possible. Yeah, totally. Very believable, right?
Yeah. Not very believable, I'll tell you that. Man. That's something. But a lot of folks in the Clinton administration and friends, so-called friends, ended up missing. Missing in action.
Where's Sarge?
Or suicided.
Oh, I don't know
where the Sarge is. Nobody knows where he is.
I don't know. Why is he missing?
Yeah,
he's been MIA for a couple of weeks now. He hasn't shown up on anybody's shows.
Really?
That's right.
That's unusual. Oh. No, that isn't good. Damn.
Kind of like Critic. It's like I'm kind of worried that, you know, Sarge will end up like a Critic situation where we just don't know whatever the fuck happened, you know?
I know.
Just disappear one day and that's it.
Yeah. And somebody cut the phone off and internet. And...
Well, with Critic, you have a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
What happened? What happened?
The
phone's turned off too?
Yeah. No, hold on. We're not talking about Sarge. We're talking about...
Oh.
A guy been on our show for hell. It was his show too. He went by the name of Critic. His name was Scott Harris.
Back at the beginning.
Yeah, pretty close.
Well, somebody threatened to have Sarge arrested. You know.
No, I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah, somebody threatened to have him arrested. He said he threatened him in the chat room or something, and Sarge didn't threaten him. And that happened a couple of weeks ago, and now Sarge has disappeared. I'm wondering. I'm wondering about that.
Ask Lauren. I talked to Sarge.
Yeah, you remember
that Warren,
Bianchi? Yeah, you were in, yeah, yeah. You remember that Bianchi? Yeah. He's
yeah, I thought he saw it today. He all right.
Oh. Well, why didn't you say something then, you wise ass? Man, that would have been you're all worried about what happened, you know?
Yeah, Bianchi. For 20 minutes, we're talking about Sarge.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
And you're sitting back eating a banana. How wrong are you?
Man, oh, man. And you're all worried about him and everything. I'm getting ready to get in my car and get ready to head down to Georgia and go looking for him. Bond him out of jail, you know?
You'd be crossing the state line, and Bianchi goes, "Oh, well, yeah, I talked to him yesterday, you know."
Yeah, I was worried to death.
Well, good. At least somebody's heard from him.
God. Yeah,
if I ever disappear like that, you know, you all have, you know, I think most of you all have my number, and you know that you could go to my Facebook and, like,
well, that's what I'm
if
saying,
I haven't
you know?
Posted anything and I haven't responded and I'm not answering calls, then you know something's up.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you don't know what happened, you know. I mean, geez, it's God forbid that anything like that ever does happen to somebody, you know. Let's hope that never does happen. But I'm just saying, there's some people that don't have no friends or family, you know, and
right.
You know, something like that happens, they get snatched up or get arrested or something, you know. I'd like you got to know what happened,
plain,
you know.
Yeah, plain die.
Die in their house and a cat's eating their face.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice, cinnamon. That's really nice.
Sorry.
Yeah,
and I have a dog and two cats, so that's a reality here, you know. It's like, you know, I'd hope that, you know, my mom would, you know, get my mom, if I wasn't responding to my mom, she probably would call Marion County Sheriff here in Salem, Oregon to do a wellness check for me.
Yeah. There was a time there where I could have ended up like that, man. And I think about it, man. Wow, I don't have too many people living in the state.
You know what I would do if I was single? I would give somebody instructions to call every damn number on my phone.
Yeah.
And tell them what happened, and I think
I never
would
think about that. You know, whatever. You know what I mean? You never think about that.
No, you don't until it happens. And you know, like Critic, he all of a sudden dropped right off at Christmas time. And damn, Cinnamon, my wife there, she tried to get him on the computer. It was shut down. I started calling him, and his phone was turned off, and that I know something was wrong.
Wow.
And he was doing that experimental cell. I don't know what the hell it was now. I can't remember.
Stem cell.
Yes, it was stem cell treatment.
Yeah, he went through the treatments.
And he was feeling pretty good.
Yeah, and he was moving.
I thought he had the LGBTQ community
thing. They're absolutely so disgusting. They had church services celebrating that their diverse community, and they're mocking the Bible, and they're dressed all in half naked and everything, and putting on a show for kids. I mean, this is disgusting. This is getting out of control. I mean, that is just absolutely filthy, disgusting, rotten, and that just makes a mockery of everything. I mean, it's just, and they wonder why the people view them this way. You want to be accepted. You don't go out dancing in the middle of parading down the street with leather pants with your ass hanging out, you know? I mean, it don't make any sense, you know? I mean,
no.
It's just in front of kids,
well,
too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they were basically naked. I mean, basically naked years ago, that would be indecent exposure, and you had your ass in jail.
In New York.
Yeah, wasn't it New York that was like that? It was a clothing optional pride march, and kid friendly, you know? And there's like literally this old guy kind of in the background in this video, and he literally has a heart on, and there's like 5-year-old little girl walking past him.
Oh, man.
And I'm going,
that's not right.
Christ, this is sick.
Oh. If I saw that, I'd have to beat his ass. I would have to beat his ass if I saw that. I would. I'd be going to jail.
First, I would beat the parents' ass for even having my kid there in the first place.
Well,
then
that's true.
Absolutely.
How can
that makes me mad.
How can a freaking parent? I seen there's a picture of a guy and he had his winger out and ass hanging out, and he this little boy is looking right at his crotch and the look on his face, and the old guy was looking down at him and smiling. I go, wow. Wow.
I beat a guy up for smoking smoking crack, and I was working for a moving company part time, and there was a little tiny like little kids daycare right next to the place we were moving, and there was kids out there, and there was a guy smoking in the alleyway smoking crack, and he was like from me. I said, "What the hell are you doing?" I jumped off the walking board and I just beat him to a bloody pulp, and the crack pipe busted out. I was going to try to shove it down his throat, but. You know, because the kids could see him smoking it, and
yeah,
you nobody. Know, but my guys that were working with me, they're clapping. They're like, "Good for you, yeah, beat his ass."
Yeah,
you know, and that was it. And he took off and run. You know,
yeah, definitely
I just
good.
Lost it.
Yeah, these parents. To wow, well, you did a good thing. I that's terrible, but these parents that take their kid to a gay parade, especially in New York. Because every year they push the envelope. Every year. I remember they showed pictures of gay parade 10 years ago in New York. Nothing like it is today. And the cops could arrest 50% of the people for indecent exposure, but they didn't arrest anybody.
Man, I think back to the parades when I went with my grandfather watching the World War One veterans, you know, in the early 80s. I'm a little boy, you know, watching the, you know, and now look at today, the grandparents bringing their kids, they're watching naked men, you know, with hard-ons walking parade. That's a disgusting country, man. That is terrible.
It is.
Complete reversal.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Wait till these, the Thanksgiving Day parade comes out. They'll have Popeye with a wanger hanging out.
Shut it down.
I hope
everybody should go up there shutting it down, you know, just protest.
When everybody's too afraid to say anything because they don't.
I know.
It's like now being called against these transgender people is as bad as being called a racist.
Oh, yeah. I get called it all the time. Yeah, I got a message today telling me I was a racist. Yeah, you're a racist, this and that. You know, and yeah, I get them all the time. My show especially, my chat room, oh, God, they go come after me. They threaten my family. They insult my kids, everything.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
they
love you.
Wow.
You know, I mean, they just come at they come after me big time. I get crank calls constantly.
they
threaten me all night long.
Wow.
Well, they changed my number and everything. Yeah.
They call me. Oh, I guess. Yeah. God damn.
They even called the gym that I go work out at. They called the gym harassing me there. There, you know, that was crazy. And I told the manager of the gym, I said, yeah, I do a podcast show. He started laughing. I said, I told him, come here and meet me, you know. Anytime they want to come here, I'm here. You know, and he just started laughing. But, you know, but it's ridiculous. You know, it's like, you know, because I tell them, I'll leave the porch light on for you anytime you want to come by, you know. So, but they never show up. And, but they keep calling and calling and calling. They put an ad up on Craigslist saying, with my phone number saying I was selling Lionel Richie tickets. Yeah. I was getting people calling me. Yeah. They were creative. I got to give them credit.
I've never heard of that one before. That's awesome.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, crazy. They were creative. I give them credit.
Yeah, I definitely have to give them boys a head. You know, add a boy. That's awesome. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Somebody called me up telling me I got Lionel Richie tickets for sale. I said, who is this? What are you talking about? And he goes, yeah. I said, yeah, you still got those tickets for sale. And I just thought he was joking around, you know. I thought it was one of my buddies. I said, what are you talking about?
Oh, wow. Right. Okay. Okay, somebody sent me this a long time ago. It's Lindsey Graham being booed.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome United States Senator Lindsey Graham.
How's he get reelected?
You can't hear that?
Yeah, I can hear it. But how's he get reelected with all those boos?
I don't know. Because you know damn well 3/4 of these people are going to vote for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I believe that.
It's the gullibility of the American people. It's like the other day I was at the grocery store. I spent $86, and I'm like, when she rung it up, I was just like looking at it, the red cash register. I said, what the hell did I buy? I said, I didn't buy nothing. You know, and she had to went over the whole order with me again. And I'm walking out looking at the receipt, and I'm talking to myself, you know, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. These prices are just, this is, you know, and people are looking at me, smiling at me. Hey, hi, you know, like it's funny. And I'm like, yeah, you like it, huh? Well, you know, you like it. You're getting ready to go inside and get ripped off. Yeah, you like it. You know, look what I bought for $86. I'm showing on my cart, you know. This is well, a highway robbery, you know.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah, it is.
It's wrong.
Yeah. I feel sorry for, you know, these people now are making $15 an hour, but everything's went up.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah, they finally get the raise, $15 an hour, and everybody's gone up to, you know, quadruple in price.
Yeah. I guess it's going to happen again. They're talking about another, whatever happened the last time with these ships being out in a port. I don't exactly know. I think Gene knew. Gene brought it up one time. But,
It was dock worker strikes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and everything went up then. I mean, all these ships are out there. It's and they said this might happen again. Of course it will around Christmas time, you know.
Yep, yeah. What did they have last year? The truckers thing, right? That was a big thing, remember?
Yeah. And Canada, look what they did in Canada, because you know they'll do it here. And I'm proud of Canada. I'm proud of the truckers, not Canada. I'm proud of the truckers because they lost almost everything. They had their money turned off for a long time.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
That's sad.
The situation in Canada is terrible. It is terrible. And the
it's
people
really
don't
changed.
Know what
it's,
the hell
yeah.
to do. And it's going to come here. I mean, I think that's just a test case.
Gasoline stuff with the cars, the gasoline, the states are already doing it. That where